Hi. KPFT Houston.
Spend another night alone, crossing, wishing you. dead.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston in the world. This is the
21st
of August edition of April, of After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harris. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the longest-running co-producer of this show.
I was going to say the sick one.
Yeah, that too.
And I'll be Wes Laverne, the newest co-executive producer of this train wreck.
He gave me two flyers for the same event.
Did he now?
Two
for the price of one.
The nerve.
I know, right? How dare you?
And I already know the stuff. Backwards and forwards.
Well, how...
Can you do the backwards part? Wow.
I'm usually known for being ass backwards.
Mm-hmm.
No comment.
Oh, you have plenty of comments on that. You're just too chicken to save them.
Because I'm in the same room.
Yeah, that too, but now that we...
No, it ain't going to happen now. I just spent $7 on a name badge for him.
I know, right?
Why is that?
I ain't screwing that up.
Now, why is that?
Because.
Tell us about it.
Shall I or shall you?
I don't care.
Well, I am now the newest board member for the Houston Council of Clubs, taking over the position of secretary.
Wow.
Since Robert Kahn had to step down last month.
And that is a huge, huge job.
Yes, it is.
And because you're going to be in charge of registration.
Very much so. And I'm going to be, speaking of registration, we should have that up and running soon.
Yeah, we still got a lot of work to do.
Soon, somewhere in there.
Okay.
No exact date as of yet.
Well, because with Louis Weekend, we're doing a lot of changes this year. We're really up. We're going to. You've been able to register
online before.
Online, but now we are taking it to the next level.
We're really taking it to a big level.
Yeah.
Actually,
that this year with registration, before you could register online, but you couldn't pay online.
Now you'll be able to pay for everything online.
Yeah, you know, now the local people can pay for their $15. If you want to buy a T-shirt, you can buy that online and do all that other fun stuff.
And we'll be able to track everything, too.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
And so from what I've heard...
Be a huge improvement.
From what I've heard about it, and I haven't been able to read much on it yet, because I haven't found something that just I can read. But we're going to be able to do a lot... We'll
Good.
Be able to track lots of stuff.
Good.
But the first thing we have to do is get you in the Tony's bathroom with Robert Tichy.
Yeah, I know.
I beg your pardon.
I need my board picture taken.
Oh, he of
needs
course.
To, yeah, and he's got to create a South Park character for me and the whole nine yards.
Mm.
So
That shouldn't be hard.
Watch it. He's got a full...
I'm thinking Mr. Hankey.
Oh.
Who said that?
Ouch.
You pulled me out.
I beg your pardon.
I hate it when I pull out too soon.
I know, right? So, but yeah. So, yeah, I just took over that position this past Wednesday.
Good for you. Good for you. So,
which you would have known, Jimmy, if you were there.
And
well, as part of that, I was at home with a fever... on my couch, at the time, and the next day I went to my doctor. And folks that have listened to After Hours for long term realize that I have put my life out here on the air from the very beginning. I think the very first night I was on a microphone, I talked about being HIV positive, and through the years, people have learned my progression on the disease and the ups and the downs. And
your many trips to the glory hole. we were talking about that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, there has been all aspects of my life, yeah. but now
and
I
his favorite,
come into a
his
new...
His favorite spaces to go.
Come into a new phase, which is I'm officially now really old. Because I went to my doctor, found I have an enlarged prostate, and on top of that, a kidney infection. Mm. So, I've been taking it kind of slow here the last few days.
And so Jimmy's prescription for that, to cure that, is he needs to bottom more and someone to come over and top him and bring sounding tools.
Oh, my God.
Woo!
Put a tuning fork in there, Jimmy.
No, I don't think so.
Somebody break out the French tickler out there.
No, I'm... In fact, makes me kind of wonder. I'm on an antibiotic for 30 days. 30 days.
Have fun with that.
That's a long time to be on an antibiotic.
Well, Jimmy, I don't know if you remember this, but your immune system is a little bit compromised.
Just a touch.
Just a touch. So, yeah, you may need to take a longer and lengthier dose.
Yes. But on that front, I'm very healthy because I have, my viral load is undetectable and my T cell count is probably higher than yours. I'm in the thousands.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't check that T number.
I guess I don't either. Since it's neither of you were HIV positive, you wouldn't. But
mine's more the low T, you know, the other commercial you see on TV.
The normal is anywhere between 500 and 1,200, and I'm at 1,100.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah.
Finally, you're an overachiever. It took him 100 years, but he finally became an overachiever in something.
So, you know, right. It's my immune system is not in that bad of a shape.
Did he say immune or moon?
Immune. Immune.
That sounds like you said moon.
Immune. Yeah, speaking of, I got to talk about the things. We got to talk to you about stuff that moo here later.
Yeah, well.
Uh-oh.
Ooh. Is it time to do events?
Probably.
Okay.
Oh, we can blather on. All we got is Judy coming up. And the infamous round table.
Yes.
I'm waiting to see how many people start reading that.
And
I only got one comment, two, including.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I didn't post mine online. But, yeah, make sure you come out and follow us on Facebook because Chris has been putting up some pretty tasty stuff over there.
He certainly has.
He's posted a lot of our pictures from different events and stuff like that and
tagged
them all.
I'm going to have to start checking that out.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how many times I tagged Judy.
Judy who?
And surprisingly, it wasn't with a can of spray paint.
But yeah.
You want to see how many times you are tagged in our on our Facebook page?
I are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is your partner in crime on Facebook that he wants to be recognized on being part of the show?
I don't know. I have to ask him.
Well, why don't you do that for us?
I'll do that for you.
Because then I'll start tagging him, too.
Yeah.
I'm not the only one on there that's not tagged. Any of the pictures are tagged.
The only person I know in the whole world.
Well, that's easy enough to fix.
Because she tries to stay in front behind the camera is Doris.
But
her picture's on there a couple of times.
I know she is not amused. Don't even go there.
Ah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But it's easy enough to tag you on there.
I don't have a Facebook page to tag.
It doesn't matter.
I know. Buzz.
I know. Every time I open my computer, my Jim Carper name, it's like. Blah, 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 tagged you, blah, 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 tagged you, blah, 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 tagged you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yet,
what is that about?
What it is on Facebook, on a picture, you can take and put a little box around somebody's, either their whole body or just their head or whatever the case may be, and link it to their Facebook page.
Oh.
And so that's called tagging.
Oh.
And so we took all the pictures from SeaOwl.net and stole them. I stole them.
Oh, my God.
As long as they're still tagged with his logo.
I don't have access to Photoshop anymore, so I can't go in there and erase his
it's not technically stealing since his logo's still there.
It better be.
But no. Yeah, it's so much fun. They're going the way you have to go in and steal pictures from his website because you just can't right-click. He has his security settings on it. Makes it difficult for me, but I get around it.
I know what you mean. I've done it before.
So we've put them all into there. There's also the pride pics.
Pics of everybody's tattoos.
And when I started tagging some of these other ones, people who got tagged that I had on my friends list, then they go, oh, here's this person's name. I started tagging on more and more, especially like when we got Stage Door. Mm-hmm. Some of the pictures. This is from two Christmas shows ago.
Oh, my God.
That we have that picture on Facebook. And so I tagged the ones that I knew, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden everybody else was like, pop, 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 pop.
Yeah, so if you're out there in the free world.
So anybody can go in there and tag.
Anybody out there in the free world can go out there and see all of our pictures there on our Facebook mm-hmm. page. And
I gave up a couple hours of pornography to sit there and tag those photos.
What?
Yeah, he did. I remember I was sitting there one night, and it's like my page kept falling down, saying After Hours has tagged you in this picture, After Hours has tagged you in this picture, and I'm like, holy crap, Chris.
Yeah.
You think yours screened on there, Sean and Chase's.
I know, you tagged them quite a bit. Because I'm usually sitting in here, and they're getting pictures taken out there, and it's like, wait a minute here.
Yeah, you need to talk to Paul. I think he has an unhealthy attraction to your boys.
Paul know that you've got his pictures?
He's a friend of ours.
Yeah, he's a friend of ours. So I mean, plus he's all right with it.
I guess I
told him that I've stolen some of his pictures off of his page before.
I guess I should tag each one of those. That's what I'm going to tag each one of those photos as Paul Strickland.
No. Ay, ay,
ay. But yeah,
that voice.
I do need to have a talk with Paul, though.
Yeah, especially with them half naked and a lot of them.
Well, just wait a half hour. He'll be here.
Well, a little bit longer than that, but yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, things going on in the neighborhood. It's almost time for. Well, actually, this is different. This is from J.D. Doyle.
Ah.
And this is his Out Radio show. Which is
speaking of JD, he's a friend of mine on Facebook.
Solely on his website, queermusicheritage.org. And Out Radio is an over 4-hour romp. Wow, starting with my vacation. So part one is called How I Spent My Summer Vacation, and that was in San Francisco for Pride. I'm playing all the artists I met or saw, and I stretched the hour to do it. For part two, I get to share with you interviews with new UK artist Kay Anderson and women's music icon Trett Fury, both with new albums. And parts three and four, it's just much more music, and I bet there's some folks you've not heard. So, when he went to San Francisco... talked to Andy Bell, Lipstick Conspiracy, Shauna Virago, actor/model, Storm Flores, Catastrophe, Joshua Klipp, who Catastrophe does some stuff on Joshua Klipp's CD, as a matter of fact.
I think that's the song that we actually play here, is the Joshua Klipp Catastrophe one.
Yeah, I love it.
Transgendered performers.
Mm-hmm. The Bloods, Coyote Grace, Angie Evans, Lucky Jesus, Winsome Griffles.
Hey, another one we've played.
Yes, you didn't like it. And that song is included in here called Your New Stupid Boyfriend. Alex Dobkin, Frank, who knew she was still around? Blackberry, of all people. He must be 110 by now. Seth Bedford and Veronica Klaus.
Another one we've played.
Yes. But Blackberry we've played too. He was making music back in the early 70s, openly gay music. He is a black man, and has put out a couple of his own albums, as well as been guest artists on many, many others.
Is he getting any money from the BlackBerry?
He should, but I doubt it, unfortunately. So, anyway, that's going on Out Radio. And
where do you find Out Radio?
You find it at www.queermusicheritage.com.
Huh?
That's where you find it, queermusicheritage.com. Okay. Chris, you're next. Will you stop playing?
He's playing with his new toy over there.
It sounds like he's doing a Jackie Thorne impression.
He's trying.
Jimmy, if your eyes get any bigger, they're going to fall out.
Oh, God.
goodness.
I was trying to open my fruits.
They're out there in the other room.
Ain't none of them let me touch them the way these do.
And
I had to get a hole put in it and then stretch
and
it
you
out.
You can unwrap those boys a lot easier than you can unwrap those fruits.
I thought you were the bottom, though.
Big time. I've seen it in action.
I thought what happened at Louis stays at Louis.
Did I say anything about Louis?
I missed that tree. Oh.
Chris, you're next.
I thought I was on already.
Oh, Lord.
Some stuff from Stage Door, Inc., the Center for Performing Arts and Education.
You do.
Right now, going on, is Come Back to the Five and Dime, Jimmy Dean, Jimmy Dean. You've got this weekend and next weekend to catch the play. Tickets are $15. Friday and Saturday night's performances are at 8 p.m. Sunday! At 3 p.m. For more information, go to stagedoorinc.com. Their next production coming up after that is going to be Proof. And don't forget, they're getting ready for next calendar year starts their new show.
Wait a minute. Who's doing Proof?
Stage Door, Inc.
Really?
I have no idea what it's about. Do you?
Let me get back to you on that.
Okay. But, you know, most of the stuff I see there I haven't seen before, you mm-hmm. know, like Steel Magnolias or Come Back to the Five and Dime, Jimmy Dean, Jimmy Dean. They've also announced their schedule for 2011.
Yeah.
Now, the season opener will be to be announced later.
Oh.
They can't tell you yet.
Uh-oh.
Followed by Over the River and Through the Woods, On Golden Pond.
Wow.
Noises Off.
They don't have anybody in that group that can step in and do On Golden Pond. They're all young.
They'll do the young version.
It's that odd little...
And then they're going to invite you for
twist
the
to
last
it.
Little segment.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if they use the old farts, then, you know, it's Mark's mom and Dario.
Wow. Dario?
You know he's going to kill you.
Oh, wow. I'm scared.
Okay.
If he's listening.
After On Golden Pond, we have...
Noises Off. It's a weird play. If you saw the movie, it was, you know, Christopher Reeve, Carol Burnett. Basically, a whole bunch of people trying to get it on at a summer cabin, and then end up they're all also actors.
Oh.
The Summer Academy show will be Willy Wonka Jr., The Producers in July, The Cover of Life in September.
Mm-hmm.
The Halloween show will be the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yay!
Rocky Horror
Show.
Cool.
They're talking that it may just make that the permanent Halloween show.
Good idea. Go. Yeah.
And the Christmas show is A Christmas Carol, adapted by Mark Anthony Glover.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Take A Christmas Carol and change it over to Nolan's.
Oh, that sounds scary.
And not just ghosts, but voodoo.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
With original songs included.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
What a talented young man.
Well, someone else is doing the songs.
He at least admits that.
Yeah.
For more information on Stage Door Inc., the theater down in Pasadena Town Square, once again, go to stagedoorinc.com. The final show of Hatch's Film Festival will be taking place on Tuesday, August 24th, starting at noon at Room 101 of the GLBT Cultural Center, 401 Bernard. The movie of the week is, the movies are Ami and Jaguar, or Amy and, and Jaguar, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's Ami and Jaguar.
Yeah, that's right.
And La Cage Falls.
Oh.
Shows begin at noon with a short introduction followed by Murphy, who is former director of the Houston Gay, and Lesbian Film Festival. This is open to Hatch and Spry.
Yes.
Upcoming events at the Houston GLBT Community Center on Thursday, August 26th, the Center HIV Support Group meets at 6 p.m. Saturday the 28th, the TaylorMade Ballet meets at the Center from 8 to 10. Looking ahead, September 2nd, the Center launches Project Empower exercise program for people living with HIV/AIDS, held every Tuesdays and Thursdays at the Center. September 15th, the Center holds an open house in observance of the LGBT Center Awareness Day, a day of action organized by CenterLink, the national organization for GLBT centers.
Mm-hmm.
I love how they mix the letters around for that.
Yeah, well.
Also on September 15th, the center will host an opening reception of an exhibition of GLBT-themed quilts by local artist Mike Kelly. The Houston GLBT Community Center is the home base for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people and their allies in the metropolitan area and southeast Texas. It's located at 3400 Montrose, Suite 207. The phone number is 713-524-3818. Or you can check them out on the web at HoustonGLBTCommunityCenter.org. That's it.
Okay.
That's all you got? Well, Clay Hardy's putting on Live 2010 on Sunday.
Sunday.
August 22nd at 7 p.m. over at the BRB. This is benefiting PWA Holiday Charities. And then the Kindred Spirits 30th Anniversary Celebration over at the SPJST Lodge at 1435 Beale Street on August 28th from 7:30 p.m. till 1 a.m. For more information, go to kindredspiritshouston.org. Then the Sundance Cattle Company is inviting us to A Touch of Class, the 30th anniversary of the Sundance Cattle Company, on Saturday, August 28th at 6 p.m. over at EJ's at 2517 Ralph Street. They're going to have the presentation of their new officers, their show awards, and a lot more. And the benefit they're benefiting the PWA Holiday Charities. And then it's time for almost time for Misfits Ball 12 Steel. And that's Steel, S-T-E-E-L. Taking place over at Numbers, 300 Westheimer, on September 12th from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m.
What day of the week is that? Sunday.
Okay, yeah. Doesn't say that on here. I would have to look at a calendar.
Okay.
Yeah, that's blood in my ear. Yeah.
Sorry.
Mine too.
I still got it.
Yeah. Special guest DJ Mark D. There's a minimum donation of $15.
Mm-hmm.
50-50 raffle, silent auction, leather Levi fetish attire encouraged, clothes check available. Please be street legal. Bring your old cellular phones and chargers to donate to victims of domestic violence.
Oh.
And, of course, everything is going to be their benefit for this is the Bearing Omega Adult Care Center, Montrose Counseling Center's anti-violence program. For more information, go to misfitshouston.org.
That is the event of the year to go to, I'll tell you. That is so much fun.
And maybe this year you'll get to the spot, you'll stay on the ground floor.
And there's never happened. And it's the best silent auction I've ever seen.
All right, and I can't read any of this.
I'm sorry.
But it's for Mr. Leather Houston 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Either of y'all know any information on this one? Because your glasses ain't going to help.
Friday, September
20 something.
You sure it's 20? I thought it was... Hey, something's happening at the Ripcord. Well, you got anything else to go to?
That's all I've got.
Mr. Leather...
Yeah, it's Mr. Leather Houston 2010.
Right, that's the new title that Rene Cantu won, and he will be...
Well, let's do this. What day is
crown.
The Misfits Ball again?
The 12th.
The 12th.
Okay. Friday, September 10th, 2010, at 10 p.m. at the Ripcord, there will be an event, and that's the meet and... Okay. Hold on a second.
Oh, it's the meet and greet.
The meet and greet will be at the Ripcord on Friday, September 10th, 2010, at 10 p.m. Then on Saturday, the 11th, will be the Mr. Leather Houston contest at the Ripcord starting at 10 p.m.
Good Lord, that's a packed weekend for those folks, for the Misfits.
Yeah, yep. And that's the only way I was able to figure it out, because the final event on here is the Misfits Ball. So I was like, okay, this worked backwards from there.
Okay.
Applications are available at Black Hawk Leather. Which is behind the Ripcord or in the Ripcord.
Either way.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll work on getting a better copy of that.
Okay. Yes. I'll have to send it to you guys.
It came across the Louis list, right?
Yeah, so you should have it.
I think I have... One of us approved it.
I think it was you. It wasn't me. Yeah.
He's a fast learner. I put him on the thing to be a moderator, and all of a sudden he starts approving people and throwing people out and bringing them in.
It's the power thing.
Nah,
he's into the power.
When it all goes to my cell phone, I can sit there and say okay, and I just log in real quick and do what I need to do.
Ooh.
So it's like I know when the stuff hits.
Yeah.
Everybody else waits until like 11, 12 o'clock at night to do it.
That's because all the things that come across that say, moderate this or approve this person, goes right to my trash.
Oh, my God.
I log into the webs, log into the Yahoo group when I get home.
After he finishes watching his porn.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yes.
Well, okay. Maybe.
I check the personal ads that I'm on.
Mm-hmm.
So there's 5 of those websites.
Yeah.
Times 2.
Well, and then check Cam4 usually, and then XTube.
Oh, my God.
Well, see, when I log in, it goes to my dirty email account. And I can't log out of that until I check Craigslist to see if there's anyone who I need to send an email to. So after I get done checking with that, then I can log out of the dirty email account and then go into my clean email account, which is what the Louis is attached to.
Life shouldn't be this complicated.
It is for him.
I have got so many email accounts, it's not funny.
I've got 2, one for work and one for home.
I've got my clean one and my adult one.
I've got 2, one at work and one at home.
Okay.
And I try and make my life easier, and, you know, all the dirty ones and all the different accounts I go into all have the same screen name. So it sounds really bad when I say, yeah, you can reach me at such and such at Yahoo, at Hotmail, at this website, at this website, this website, this website, with this website. And, you know, rattle off all these names and go, yeah, that screen name is me on all of them. And there's the clean one, and then there's the one for the radio station. I got rid of my other dirty account.
He downsized.
I see.
Well, it's probably just being filled with all sorts of spam, so I just stopped going to it.
All I'm on is a bunch of Yahoo groups.
I've got a lot of those, but, you know, most of them come over just the trash ones. So it's like, you know, I'm on a Yahoo group that I've actually left. And apparently they still retained my name. And so I still get junk emails from these people, of, you know, all the stupid stuff of that comes across on those.
Mm.
And it's like, okay, anything with this header goes into the trash.
Okay.
Yeah, I need to go through and trim my Yahoo groups down.
I love the fact when I'm at work and we have a Gmail work account, and then I open up the spam folder, especially on Monday. It's like, you have 20 emails. And I look through the topics there, and it's Viagra, Rolex watches, Viagra, 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 make her moan in bed, hydrocodone. It's like...
AOL is very good about spamming those away from you.
Except the ones where I get ones back. From my work account. You know, there's one time I got, you know, I clicked up an email that was from my company's, we use AOL as our main email address.
Yeah.
So I saw an email from us, and I clicked on it. I go, gee, What aisle do we start serving? Do we start selling the Viagra on? Because according to this, we're offering Viagra at $1.20 a pill.
Yeah, I've had that happen on my Yahoo account before, and I was like, when did I send that to myself?
Yeah,
I love the Messenger ones when they start tacking in, and yeah, I started chatting with a friend. I thought it was a friend of mine who sends me a thing, bing, and start talking to him, and it's like. The third line in, I realize I'm not talking to my friend because it's, yeah, I just got back from the gym. Oh, hell, you know, this ain't you. This ain't Danny. I know Danny. This ain't Danny.
Yeah. I love the ones that try to friend you now and don't put anything on there and you've never talked to them before. I immediately put those on the ignore list.
Hey, it's easy for me to tell that because it always comes with a woman's name. It's like, I ain't have no women on this list.
Yeah.
Women don't have access to that screen name, so. and I started reporting them, too.
Have you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They go, reason for reporting it. It's an icky woman. Ew. Send. This person has a vajayjay. Ew.
Okay, we've got somebody new in here.
Hi, Dougie.
Hey.
How's it going?
I'm doing just fine. How are you guys doing?
You
going
to tell us about the letters we got?
Oh, we've got four letters. Hopefully that I'm not going to read until 2:30 because I'm still working on the fourth one to make sure that I don't, you know, stumble and make a whole mishmash.
Because there's some poetry?
Actually, only one of them has poetry, and that's the one I have yet to read.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that one of them has the most beautiful handwriting I have ever seen in my life.
I know which one you're talking
Unfortunately,
about.
Unfortunately, I have the most ugly eyes on the face of the planet. So, it's going to take me probably three or four readings of this before I can make really good sense of it. Okay. So, I'm hoping y'all will give me a little more time to, you know, breathe the letters and inhale the scents. And
oh, don't worry. We've got Judy and Jim Griffin coming in here later. They'll go on forever.
Yeah.
I have gotten several requests, though.
Yeah.
This is something I wanted to bring up now. I have gotten several requests for pictures of us,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know that we even have.
Yeah, we do. We've got a couple of really great group pictures that Paul just recently took.
Well, I wanted to mention that if you're fantasizing in any way about me, you might want to stick with what's in your head than rather the picture that you're asking for, because I'm probably much sexier in your head than I am in real life.
All of us have a face for radio.
I love that 8-second delay. It took her that long to come in.
I was in the middle of a conversation.
Anyway, that reminds me we need to give a shout out early in the show to Daryl.
Yeah, Daryl didn't write us this week.
No, he didn't.
But we do want to
I hope
say
he got my
to
postcard.
Oh, did you send him a postcard?
I did.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
We're trying to coerce Judy into sitting down and putting on her headphones and actually participating in the conversation.
Why?
She's going to be dominating the airwaves in just a few minutes.
Because she's going to beat you up for all those VV words that you kept saying earlier.
Is it going to make Chris mad if I put on headphones and sit down? Is
it going to make you mad or him mad? Oh, Chris mad? Maybe. Yeah. Go for it.
Okay, hi. I think I'll sit down and put on a mic.
Oh.
Hi, Judy.
Hi, honey.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm all right.
I'm so glad to see you.
Oh, goody.
Looking good tonight.
Well, thank you.
Cheerful, too. Did you get a haircut?
A couple weeks
okay,
ago.
Okay, I'm done.
Mike, she used up all of her social skills in that blast.
Oh, my God.
I'm saving the rest for Jim.
Mikey buzzed him a couple of weeks ago. I was actually supposed to do it, but I had just come off of a ship, and I was like 18 hours into it before I showed up here, and I went, you really don't want my shaky hands right now doing anything to your head.
Yeah.
You know, I like...
Well, not the upper head, anyway.
I like your haircut now. I thought, at the time, I thought, oh, my God.
Well, it's grown out a little bit over the last couple of weeks.
So. Yeah.
Well, all those short haircuts like that have to relax, Jimmy. You know, his head was scared of them clippers. They were all clinging down and, you know.
Hunkered down.
You know, there's some things when a sharp object gets close to it, it actually shrinks rather than grows.
Let's not go there with Judy in the room.
I didn't say what things shrank.
Oh, excuse me. How long have I been hanging around you guys?
I know. You're used
too
to
long?
It.
Yeah.
You're used to the guy thing.
Yeah, think.
Well, you know, there is only one thing on our minds, right?
Uh-huh.
Every 5 seconds.
Coffee.
And I run all those 5-second segments together so that they're all cohesive.
Yeah. Coffee.
You only need to know two things about a man. If he walks in the room without an erection, make him a sandwich.
Oh, is that not so true?
I'll rub his butt and then you won't have to worry about the sandwich.
Thank you, I'll make the sandwich.
I don't know, sometimes it's easier.
So that's how you stuck with Stanley for that many years?
Oh.
Right. How many sandwiches is that, Jimmy?
Millions.
Well, I walk in and immediately the conversation turns because I really have been listening. I you know.
And it's been.
You're the only one on that side of the door.
Like, hello.
Well, no, it wasn't you, Judy. You see, okay. You came in just as I sat down, and I'm the one that always starts that to rolling downhill.
Okay. Yeah.
It's my favorite place because I think it always needs to be rolling downhill.
What do you mean your favorite place? It's your only place.
There's another 5 seconds, people. You know, my mind doesn't always necessarily have to go there, but I kind of like to make sure that everybody else is done.
Isn't it kind of like you have to make a concerted effort to get it away from you?
Honey, it's a black hole.
Amen. I've heard that about you.
It's a lot more. It's a lot more energy to escape than just dive in.
Let me ask Wes.
Yes.
What were y'all doing before I walked in the room?
You don't want
to
know.
No, we were just talking.
We were just talking about the MBB letters and saying. Hi to
That's
people.
That's kind
of
what I thought.
Yeah.
Saying hi to Daryl.
Yeah.
So we know Daryl's out there listening. But
hi, Daryl. I've never said hi to Daryl before.
Yeah. Like he always says hi to you in the letters.
Yeah, he does.
How come
does.
I don't know this?
Because you don't listen to us.
Because we talk about it on the air.
We talk about it on the air every week.
Well, see, they don't always turn it on in the front lobby.
Oh.
I don't sit in the back room with the guys.
Okay.
I stunt their growth when in the back room or something. I don't know. They all kind of sit there and look at me when I'm in the back room. So I go in the lobby. It's like, oh, my God, there's a girl. It's like, okay, I'm not their mother. Okay, I'll try to listen from now on.
Okay.
But yeah, okay. Actually, several of our MBBs always say hi to you. All
well, hi back to all
like
of
Deep
you.
Cover.
Yeah, Deep Cover says it.
You've got a whole bunch of hi Judys in these four letters.
Well, I'm so happy to hear that.
And I will read those to you sometime right around 2:30.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
Sounds like a winner to me.
And I will read the poetry right after I read the letters. This time I'm going to do the letters first, then take a deep breath, do the poetry, and then I'm going to take a deep breath and... Oh, never mind. Can't go there. We're on the air.
Okay. Well.
Last time that happened, we got off the air for 4 weeks.
Yes.
Y'all are in deep trouble tonight because, see, actually, before the show, I was on a date, and it was an absolutely fantastic date. So I'm in an extremely good mood.
There you go.
And me with a straight man here. Oh, well.
That good, huh?
You can talk about it on the patio, James.
We spent... No. The entire date was G-rated.
Oh,
we were at... Can I name names of stores and places?
Yeah, of course.
We were at Byzantio on 403 West Gray.
Uh-huh.
And it's very gay-friendly, but a straight place.
Yeah.
Okay, like my second home. I nearly live there when I'm not at the radio station or working somewhere or something. Mm-hmm. And that's where we went for our, quote, date, unquote. And for the first time that I have ever taken another man to Byzantio, all the Greek women told me how perfect he was, and I nearly had heart failure on my way out the door. They told me that I needed to keep this one.
Oh.
I
never
agree, but that doesn't mean he wants to keep me, you know.
You never know.
We'll see.
Okay.
But just fantastic person. I've known him for a long time, but we were... Either he was in a relationship or I was in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those things you just couldn't...
coordinate.
Yeah, it just didn't work out.
Oh, yeah, I've had many of those.
Yeah, I got one longtime friend that's like that. It's like, I'll be in a relationship, he won't, and vice versa. But we've been longtime pen pal friends for like... Oh, God.
Well, this time we're both single, so, you know, keep your fingers crossed. I haven't been in an actual, real, honest-to-God relationship in... Let's see, when was Christ born?
5 minutes after Jimmy. Sorry, honey.
Oh, did you forget he was in the room?
Yeah.
I thought he was still asleep. Well, it's important to be friends first, because that's what helps make things work.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think
Hi, John.
That's a true statement. pull up a chair and pull up a mic. There's a headphone right over there and a microphone, and we want to hear your bubbling, gorgeous,
you're in
sweet
my
voice.
Seat. I know. I was coerced into
that's
it.
That's my seat.
I well, directed
grip,
her.
Girl.
It's my
but you're
fault.
In my seat.
Y'all can switch know seats later.
So I got this, like, obsessive-compulsive thing going here.
I can tell.
Obsessive-compulsive thing? Where?
Yeah. Here.
Just in my life.
Is there anything we can do to make it worse?
we don't have
you
a...
You don't get headphones. You can have a mic.
We don't have a thing for your phone.
Oh, man.
Jimmy's thing is missing.
Okay. Well, I'll just take it on faith that I sound okay.
You sound perfect.
Oh, great. Excellent.
You sound yummy.
Yeah, but wonderful. He can't hear
oh, and
here
that leads into an earlier discussion that we had.
Well, now we have to wait for Jim. This might not be a good time for that discussion.
Okay.
Just
we'll
a minute. I'll
Jim
get you in
the we have a guest, Jim Crawford, in here tonight for the GCAM History Hour.
Okay.
So we'll wait till we get Jim, unless we're going to bring Jim in now, and then he can just chat with the rest of us. But
well,
he didn't come.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to talk about it anyway. I'm going to talk about him.
I hope
I'm
going to
talk
do
about him bad.
Speaking of GCAM. And the community center. Do you have an announcement to make?
I have an announcement to make. No. Okay. Yes, last week, this past week, Craig went over and put up a small exhibit in the middle hallway of the community center. So it'll be kind of a
rotating thing?
Rotating permanent thing that we'll be doing. And I think we're going to expand out into the little coffee room or whatever that one space towards the center is.
Yeah.
But for right now, we're just in the hallway, and the exhibit's not completely up yet. We'll finish it before September 15th because he has something going on there.
Okay.
And as long as we're on the subject of GCAM, we're putting up a new exhibit in the Cultural Center because we want to get that up before the dinner that MCC has every October.
Yeah.
What are you going to have in the exhibit?
Oh.
In the GLBT Cultural Center. You now have headphones.
You can stick it. You can.
Now he can hear. Now he can hear me.
I'm not above stealing from Peter to pay Paul.
Okay. Yeah. It works for me.
I can't.
Now, especially if Peter's really, really cute.
Turn
your volume up.
Yeah, so he can hear me over here.
Say
I can hear you, whether you can hear you or not.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
He's number one.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
John just thinks he's number one, honey. I keep him at number two.
At least I'm not number two.
That's true. Number 1.7.
Would you rather be three?
Oh.
What is three?
What would that be?
One and two combined.
For that, we need a dark room and privacy.
Oh, okay, good.
I don't think so.
John doesn't go that way.
I didn't say he did, but I do.
Remember that valley we were talking about earlier? We're back there again.
Okay.
Do we need Jim in here?
Not yet.
Okay.
No, because
we're going to
You think Jim is going to pull you out of a valley? Oh, hell no.
Are we going to go to a piece of music before we go to the...
We only have a few minutes left.
We have to talk until he does his...
Well, I have to go back and read letters
things
again.
Well, we could here in about 5 seconds if you want to, and then go to PSAs.
Yeah.
It's election.
Are we in pledge drive still, just out of curiosity?
No.
Okay, good.
We're done.
Send in your money. Don't send any money.
They can send it in for after hours.
Yeah, send in your money, but send it to bank account.
You can go to kpft.org, and on the left-hand side, you'll see a little tip cup.
And tip cup.
You can put a little tip in there and say, we appreciate you.
Come to 419 Beloved Boulevard and
give it to us.
You can go to www.paydoug.org, and click on the PayPal. No, there's no such animal. I'd rather you went to KPFT. Go to KPFT and click on the tip cup. Don't listen to Doug.
Or you can come down here and put it in my tip cup.
Oh.
Yeah, well, we know what you want in your tip cup, don't we?
All right.
It's time for music.
I wish I'd worn my hip boots.
Yeah.
To be living, loving you somebody loving, trying to hold somebody the way I love you, babe. And I've been loving you, babe, in my brain. Oh, I can see your face again. Be so blind, honey, like I did. I know I was blind, and I tell you that I was very, very blind. Oh, but I'm just a girl. Can't you just take a look at me and tell that I live, honey, I live and I breathe for you. Don't you know I do? But what good? What good? And I want to talk about trying to hold somebody when you're lonely the way I love you, babe. And I just want you to know I tried.
Right now, you are getting to hear statements on the air by candidates for our local board of directors. Members are encouraged to educate themselves about what board members are and are not permitted to do. Board members are tasked with governance, while staff is tasked with daily operations. Board members are assigned to work with management to ensure programming is responsive to community needs. However, no individual candidate, if elected, has the power to add, change, expand, or cancel any particular program, time slot, or programmer. Members are encouraged to research all information presented by candidates, to ask questions of candidates and staff, and to be informed voters in the interest of a better Pacifica Foundation. Check kpft.org or PacificaElections2010.org to learn more about the issues of governance and station operations. And please make your vote count by returning your ballot, KPFT Houston.
The only way to have a truly fair election is if everyone votes. Get involved and make your vote count. Ballots for the 2010 local station board were mailed the week of August 15th. A separate mailing that includes information on all the candidates will be mailed the week of August 22nd. Tune in to KPFT every morning from August 23rd to August 27th from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. and hear the candidates speak about their ideas for KPFT. Join us on Sunday, August 29th from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. for the first of two community candidate forums. Both will be located at the Houston Institute for Culture at 708C Telephone Road. For more details, go to www.kpft.org. Keep KPFT healthy and thriving. Vote.
And you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. It is now time...
I was having the same problem.
Really?
And what was that problem?
Yeah.
Oh, now.
Hello.
Yeah, you're live.
Oh, we're here.
Can you hear now, Jimmy?
I can hear.
Yes,
I can hear wonderfully.
Your microphone came on just in time for him to say, and I've had that problem, too.
Oh, I see.
Life is tough, isn't
it? I've got this rash.
Now it's time for Judy's Couch.
Oh, I feel comfortable.
You know, Wes... It's really not a very thick piece of double glass between
us. Hey, I said Judy's couch, not Jimmy's couch.
And you did see me when I came in tonight in the mood I was in when I got here, which...
Yeah, did you double park your broom?
No.
Because I know you were driving with your pussy.
John double parked the hearse. This is a wonderful little...
At least she brought the hearse.
We have John and Judy and Jim and Jimmy.
It's the J.
It's the J hour. Oh,
there you go. There you go.
Exciting. This is Judy and John with the GCAM, whatever this hour is going to be called, that we don't know what it is on the third Saturday of every month.
I thought it was fossil friendly.
I'll
come through the glass.
And we have a special guest this evening. Jim Crawford here this evening.
We do. I'm back. Welcome. Thank you.
And actually, Jim, you know, we were going to have another guest on before you. And since Tim Brookover didn't show up, Tim Brookover, who is in trouble and not answering his phone right now, we're going to start out a little differently.
Of course he's not going to answer.
We started with you. John and I had a little discussion on the way over here this evening.
Oh, God.
And I suggested that perhaps he might want to share his dilemma
with
the two of you, and we'll see where it goes.
It's the weird straight guy.
It's the dilemma. Weird straight guy.
So,
why do you want to experiment?
Yeah, now I'm thinking this isn't such a good idea. But okay, we'll go down this road.
If you don't, I will.
All right.
You'd be better off doing it.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Okay.
Oh, so he put you on the spot.
He's putting me on the spot.
I can do this.
So we're getting dressed to come out here.
He is.
Yes. Yeah.
The thing is, I don't want to embarrass Jimmy.
You're not going to embarrass Jimmy.
You're sure?
Trust me.
Okay.
Then we'll
ask him afterwards. Was he embarrassed?
I'll walk home if Jimmy's embarrassed. Okay?
All right. So we're dressing for this show.
Yeah.
And I pull out the first pair of jeans, and it's the pair of jeans that has the hole in the crotch.
Oh God.
The ones that you.
I love those.
Hold on. Before you continue, Nurse Robert to the studio. Nurse Robert to the studio. Someone's going to need CPR here soon.
Yeah, probably.
So, and I'm making my wardrobe decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking to myself, Jimmy likes these jeans.
Mm-hmm.
Do I put these jeans on? And then I think, no.
You're right.
No. I shouldn't put these jeans on because that would be mean.
You think it's teasing
you. Judy and I are talking about this on the way to the studio. It's not unlike a woman that wears something revealing to the office.
That's not teasing. That's
and
an
my response was...
And, is that the, and your response was...
That's not a woman teasing every man that walks in. It's a woman who wants to make herself feel good by looking good so that men will look at her so she will feel better about herself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Jimmy staring at you does not make you feel better about yourself and it embarrasses you, perhaps you should leave... the holy crotched pants at home.
In a weird way, it does. It's like a compliment.
It is a compliment.
It is a compliment.
Yeah.
But at the same point, it's kind of like,
no, you're not leading me on, and I don't expect to.
I'm still looking at your crotch. I mean,
whether it's got a hole in the pants or not.
Hole or no hole, I'm still looking.
And now comes the $64 question.
His eyesight burning a hole in the crotch.
Is determined by this answer.
Yes.
Are you embarrassed by this question?
Oh, no.
Okay, I get a ride home then.
No.
Of course, he's turning three shades of purple.
He is. He is. You really put
you
him
do
on
blush
the spot.
A lot. I did. Isn't
no,
it
no.
I,
it's.
Go ahead, but, Jimmy. It's.
Let's just go on with the rest of the conversation.
It's quite alluring,
right,
to a gay man,
right.
But I know you're a straight guy, and you know, and I'm 62 years old.
Good God, let
nothing
him look,
is going to happen here.
Well, do you feel like a woman's teasing you if you see her?
Remember that song,
Cleveland?
Well, that's the rest of the conversation. Okay. When you see a woman. Well, the straight guy sees
when
the first
them,
thing
yeah.
that they look at are her breasts, right?
If you say so, I'm not a man, so
it
a straight
is
man.
True.
So, okay.
And,
okay.
And sometimes you have to remind yourself you can't look at her breasts because she knows that you're looking at her
well,
breasts.
Well, you know that's not because gay men do too. Because I know I do. Because I want to make sure that her bra fits right.
I never.
I like, does that bra fit right on her?
I never looked at a woman thinking that her bra fit right.
Well, no matter how large a gay man. A woman is upstairs.
Yes.
I don't even see that part. She could not even be wearing a bra. I wouldn't even know.
It's funny, Jimmy and I had this conversation just yeah. yesterday.
But the point is that guys always think about sex.
Oh, well, there's...
Straight or not,
no question.
You're always thinking about sex.
No
it's,
question
it's a guy
it.
Thing.
It is a guy thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
what do you think
it
women
is.
Think about?
What's that?
What do you think women think about?
I don't know. I'm not a woman.
Oh, okay. I'm just curious.
Anyway, John, it's kind of, I've taken words from a song and changed them up a bit. Because this is now my new philosophy. It's, beautiful men, walk a little slower when you walk by me.
Ooh. So, next month we'll see you in the crotchless pants. I mean, I'm sorry, the pants with the crotch hole.
No, because it's such a delight.
I'm still staring.
A very nice looking man.
Right.
Yes.
It's
are you married?
Thing.
Yeah. Yes.
Are you married?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Married with children.
Two
never
lovely mind. Kids, too.
Never mind.
He's got a lovely wife, too.
Yep. She's a sweetheart.
Mm.
But it's something I never would have experienced unless I had been on After Hours at KPFT.
That's See? Very true. See, and, what an education.
And I have learned, especially here, but almost throughout my life, I've always been a flirt. And I don't care. I flirt with everybody. I mean, I flirt with. I don't care if they're straight or gay,
mm-hmm.
or bi. I flirt with all men. And I always have. It's just.
That's.
The yeah. Way
Jimmy is.
Yeah.
Because you never know when you may score on one of those
Well,
plays.
You know.
There you go.
There you go.
You never know. This now could be the one.
Nowadays, I don't even know how to interact with men without flirting with them. So it's you know, when you're...
And
when
they're so used to it.
When you're 25, it's kind of cute and nice. When you're 62, not so much.
They think you're a dirty old man.
Yeah, I know.
Well, he is.
Yeah, so what else is new?
Well, you are, Blanche, you are.
That was a thing that we've also been talking about, that, you know, when you're 20 years old and you flirt with somebody that's considered, okay, you know, hot,
mm-hmm.
40, just add 40 years to that, and all of a sudden you're a dirty old man,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and it's not so hot.
Who you're flirting with? Hello.
Yes.
Shall we parade all of them through the room?
Well,
but
if you're flirting with 19-year-old boys, yeah, you're a dirty old man. If you're flirting with 40 and 50 and 6-year-old guys, you want them.
Well,
what do you think? The guys in his 80s.
I wouldn't consider sleeping with anyone under 40.
Right, but when you're 80, you're still going to be thinking about sex.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's true for most guys.
Even if you can't do anything about it, you'll still be thinking about it.
Right, absolutely.
Yes.
Pretty universally. So, because, and this is my point that we were talking about earlier, is that the guys in their life, they got two things, their work and sex. And that's it.
That's what he keeps telling me.
No.
But women have it made, according to him, so
like,
he's a little...
You missed that, John. What I said earlier was, if a man walks into the room without an erection, make him a sandwich.
Think about it. It'll sink in.
No, it's going over my head.
Those are the only two things men are interested in.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Food and sex?
That's
and,
it.
And TV.
Something you're forced into.
Okay, now the food isn't there for me. Not that perfect. It's the sex thing is there.
You think?
Pretty much.
But he thinks women have it made in this world. So he's a little skewed in his thinking.
Boy, no kidding.
Yeah. He thinks women are...
Okay, so you tell me then. What do women think about most of the time?
Well, sex gets in there somewhere.
Yeah, but is it number one?
Oh, no.
Okay. No. So what is number one?
Probably security.
Yeah, life is number one. Women like to be comfortable, and they have to work for that comfort. Men, comfort is a different ball of wax for men.
Yeah. We're always comfortable.
But women, women have to work to be comfortable.
Women make the nests.
And
men just kind of...
mess them up.
Drop by.
See, and you know, and I don't think that's always true, because I kind of agree with what you're saying. I kind of look at, you know, comfort first,
mm-hmm.
and then and security for my own well-being, right. You know, emotionally, financially, job security, and then, you know, and having a nice home. And,
but you're a gay man.
Exactly. I think that is probably, you know, we do think about sex quite a bit, but I think that's not always and every day.
No, but we have, for the most part, we have pride in our homes.
Yes.
Security there.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We like to make nests also.
Careful about those generalized statements.
Well, I know
it's... gay men's homes.
I know it's...
Well, that's true. Yeah. But
who is it that comes into blighted neighborhoods
mm-hmm.
and fixes them up?
Mm-hmm.
Gay men.
Mm-hmm.
And lesbians sometimes, but mostly gay men.
That's why. Well, wasn't there that? What was that city in California that was advertising for gay couples to move in
to fix so they could fix
it
place?
Uh huh. So that their property value could go up.
Yeah.
I mean, because like where I'm from, there's a certain sections of the city that's done like that. You know, the gay people move in, they jack up their house prices, and then they move to the next little
mm-hmm.
neighborhood.
Just
and
like
so
that's what's happening right now.
Yeah,
here.
Exactly. Yeah,
and the world becomes a better place.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
But then, if sex comes into play with the contractor, there you go.
There you go.
See, so.
Okay, I now return you to the original program.
For the most part, you have to admit that, you know, after 5 p.m., it's like, okay, hit the bars, hit the bed for men. I mean, they don't necessarily do that. Okay, Jim, you're an old married man, okay?
Yeah, well,
we're talking about the single guys.
Young single guys.
Yes.
Well, even some of the older single guys.
Older single guys get a different perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there goes that generalization again. You know, you just really can't.
I
know
that's all we have to go on.
There are 80-year-old guys glued to a bar stool somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, I have a single old man sitting here beside me, a widower.
Thank you.
I have a married old man sitting on the other side of me. I have a married old man over here on the other side of me. I mean, I'm surrounded by you guys.
I'm only 46.
All right. I mean, excuse me, in the car, by the way, you made a comment tonight that I took tremendous.
You're 46?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. He's got kids in junior high school.
High school.
Yeah. You said something about this nice Chinese man at work, et cetera, at school? He was in the school program, Rice?
Yeah.
Okay. And you say, he's an old guy. He's 40. And I'm like, excuse me?
Well, he's older.
Uh-huh.
<You know.
laughs> Well, that's what you're
well,
like,
I found myself thinking of myself
gasping
as old,
for breath.
Older now that I talk about young women, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Used to be just women. Now I talk about young ladies.
Yeah.
Your daughter's a young lady.
Yeah, exactly. Now they're young ladies. They're not just ladies anymore. Before they were just girls. Now they're young girls.
Goodness gracious. I'm going to have to get a whole new dictionary, aren't I?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For my old straight friends. Okay, Jimmy, go smoke your cigarette.
Okay.
You're dismissed.
Thank you.
That's okay. Well, now, Jim.
Uh-oh. I'm on the hot seat, Jimmy. Don't go.
Who are you?
How can I help you?
You can help me by just telling me all about Jim. Actually, this is a history segment.
Okay.
And in the past, we've had a lot of community organizations mm-hmm. come in and talk about their history. And at some point along the line, it was like, well, wait a minute. we don't have to just talk about organizations and their history. Mm-hmm. We have people in this community who are rich in history. So we're kind of intermingling them with some of the organizations. And I know that you've been here a while. How long have you been in Houston?
9 years.
9 years. See, that's, you know. And you've been active all that time.
Yeah,
pretty much.
I could say so, yeah.
You have a partner.
He's very active.
He's very active.
Oh, God.
Runs around me. And, but I know that you've been in and out of either belonging to or just being kind of a part of many organizations
mm-hmm.
in town.
Right.
And I don't know how active you are in the leather community or whatever or ever were.
To be honest, I mean, when I moved to Houston, it was probably when I started to be active because
mm-hmm.
Of my partner. I mean, he's the big reason why I do all this stuff. I'm not as strong-willed or as determined or as into, you know, the organizations as he is. I take it with a grain of salt. It's all about giving back.
Right.
And that's as far as I go. But you know how these organizations are. You know, they have they're different tiers and they're different cliques.
They're joiners.
Yes, exactly. And I just sit there and I just sit back and watch. Because it's...
But you don't sit back and watch. I know, okay, you're
a
joiner,
you're
not, okay, he's the joiner, and I understand it. But you're out there a lot.
Yeah.
I've seen you in this community as long as I can remember.
Oh,
and
yeah.
9 years, I'm amazed. I really thought you'd been here a lot longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
But I always see you out there. You've done fundraisers for, mm-hmm. for after hours,
yeah.
even, which is something
yeah.
most organizations certainly don't do, but
mm-hmm.
you jumped in there and did it.
Well, because it's different, you know, because different people need different things, and, you know, and I just feel like, you know, if it's something that I hold dear to my heart, and I feel like I can give back a little something, then I'll go and do it. Right now, I haven't been doing much of that, to tell you the truth, because the calendar is always booked.
Yeah.
Because you're up
hard.
Against someone else.
Yeah.
Who's trying to raise money for someone else, because, you know, funds are so limited now, job security, trying to raise a dollar here and there is a lot tougher than it used to be. A lot of our older people, like myself, are dwindling out of because they've done it for so long, and we're trying to bring a new crop of young people, but, you know, they're still in that mindset, you know, they go out and they party and they have fun. So, you know, I think we're at a transition now where we need to somehow, you know, hopefully more people will start coming out and doing something beneficial for their city, for their community. Either be straight, gay, you know, it doesn't matter. That's how I look at life. It's as long as you're doing something constructive and you're doing something that is beneficial, then go ahead and do it, you know.
What are some of the organizations you've been in?
That big piece of paper.
Okay. Yeah. Well, when I first moved to Houston, I was just working. And then when I met my partner, Christopher, he belonged to ERESIS, which is a nonprofit organization, a 501(c), you know, all that lingo. It's a farce type of organization where they have, you know, different titles of royalty, but this and that. But their primary goal is to raise money for different charities each year. And that organization is nationwide. It's also in Canada and Mexico. So there's a lot of visiting around the country and trying to help those in those cities as well. I've been with the Bears. That's more of a social organization where men of a certain stature, I would say.
You think you can be?
Yeah.
I mean, so, and they just, you know, they hang out, they do various fun things. That's a social group.
I'm going to interrupt you there for just a second. I know one of the fun things the Bears are doing this year.
Mm-hmm.
They picked GChem as their beneficiary for their fundraising this year. Yay! We're so excited. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And they do a really good job. They really do.
Yeah.
I mean, but
I just hadn't said
that. Yeah, and I've been through other things too, and I just, you know, I guess I'm a follower.
Jim, you're not a follower.
Well,
you can be led, but
you know. Yeah, I can be led.
You can be led right into trouble, girl.
Yeah, and I have been. Oh my God, have I been? Well, I'll have to tell you some stories.
But it's kind of fun to be independent.
Well,
you know,
it is.
You don't have to have loyalties to any individual organization.
Right.
You can kind of free to come and go and do as you want. Mm-hmm. And I have noticed, and I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but when you, as an independent individual, mm-hmm. Want to do a fundraiser mm-hmm. or something of that nature, you seem to have the backing of all the organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you belong to one organization, mm-hmm. you pretty much have to work around their calendar and work with them and
right.
hope they're in a good mood that night so that they'll
right.
come out to your show.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a lot to be said for not joining up to.
It really is, because you get to know a lot more people when you go out and see and do different things. But a lot of people know me that I don't take stuff to heart, mm-hmm. if you know what I mean.
Yes.
I'm the type that, you know, I'll do it. If I want to do it, I'll do it. If I don't, I don't. You know, you can't pressure me into doing something that I don't feel that I can be successful at. So when I do belong to an organization, I do as much as I possibly can,
mm-hmm.
but I don't follow under their little guidelines. So
definitely an individual thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And in his spare time, he used to, I know, when did you start doing drag?
Oh my God. To be honest, when I moved to Houston.
Really?
I don't know what it is with Houston, and it must be the water, because I'm telling you, I don't know what it, because like when I, like for, I was out for, since, you know, I think I've been out since like 75, since I'm 74, when I was going to middle school. I came out. So that's a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I mean, for Halloween, I used
to.
Oh,
well, yeah.
Yeah, but,
sure.
But when I came here, I thought, you know, just something campy. Just have fun. You know, something different.
There
you
go.
Pardon?
Were you performing?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh, yeah.
Where?
I would perform for, you know, different charities at the, you know, the clubs around here in Montrose. Not always, but, you know, like EJ's or Tony's or
I forgot B&B. What your drag name is. That's terrible. I should
Tippi have. Belmont.
Tippi Belmont, yes.
And what is Tippi Belmont's specialty?
to be honest,
I can show you, but we're not doing it with the microphones on.
The magic of radio.
She's more of a distinguished person. I always try to
almost like one of the church ladies.
Well, yeah, but I kind of pictured her as the early Endora from Bewitched, when she wore the Chanel suits.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I kind of that more that I'm, I don't want to be peace, not PC, but more of that, the lady who drinks and smokes and just has a good time.
Maybe lives in Red Rocks.
Wears big jewelry and just gaudy, and but yet classy looking.
The demure.
Yeah, exactly, demure. Exactly. So that's my persona. It's for laughs. It's nothing. I don't go out and do pageants and things like that because.
Are you singing when you do this?
Lip syncing.
Ah.
No, you don't want to hear me sing, please. That's the last thing you want to hear me do. But yeah, it's fun. It's campy. It's different. You know, people kind of don't expect that. But now they do. Now they keep asking me when she's going to come back out. And I don't know. She might have a grand entrance real soon. I'm not sure.
When do you think most people start getting involved in the organizations around town? Is it in their 30s or is it later in their 40s?
It depends, really. It depends on the person's motivation and their desire. Because we have a lot of young people in Eresus who are in their late 20s, early 30s. And we have some who are much older, you know, like myself in the 50s and 60s. So it kind of, you know, it depends.
And part of it's determined by how badly they want to do drag.
Yeah.
In organizations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In service organizations that do, you know,
well,
fundraising.
Well, like in the big men's group, what's the makeup of that? Is that mostly people who are in their 30s and 40s?
Chris?
I don't know. We have to ask one in the big men's
group. He's bears, I'm big men's.
Oh, okay. That's well, I figured you were part of the big men's group, too.
Mm-mm.
No, okay.
Well, there you go. That was polite.
He's more than welcome to.
Recruiting.
Exactly. See, these clubs are incestuous because, you know.
Clearly.
Exactly. Because if one belongs to, you know, there's, it's, these, That's why I think that these clubs are always helping each other. It's because there's always a few in this club and a few in that club who belong to this club. Because, and so, I mean, everybody knows everybody now. So if you go out to a bar and you want to be inconspicuous, it doesn't happen. Because everybody knows who you are.
Somebody.
Yeah, that's why I can't go out to those private clubs, because...
Well, I know that.
That's why glory holes are made to a smaller size, so you don't see who's on the other side.
Very
true. But well, yeah, but...
Kippy mm-hmm. would be more than welcome to join GCAM on the 24th of September.
Let me let me see. I might be in Waco then.
When I say 20, no, that's the weekend before or after. That's weekend before.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
No. We very clearly looked at the calendars to make sure nothing was on there. Now we find out that ERESIS has their IPR weekend or something that weekend. But
sure.
That may not be affected by Sunday, which is when our show is. In which case, we're supposed to move it to October 3rd when... ERESIS assured us they would help us out, except we haven't heard from the royalty yet to tell us which one we're doing.
Okay, well.
Does that make sense? So,
yeah.
But Kippy's more than welcome to come either October 24th or, I mean, September 24th or October 3rd, whichever Sunday we decide to do the show. We try not to step on toes. Like you said, the calendar stays so busy. This wasn't on a calendar. This sneaked up on us.
And I made a suggestion a while back, that with the organization that I belong to now, with ERESIS, and we have these titles, these royalty titles, you know, count, countess, lady, lord, you know, that's part of the game. It's just a facade. And the count, I mean, I can't book a show because every weekend is booked from now until.
Yeah.
Doom.
Well, small organizations like GCAM really suffer there.
Exactly. So my suggestion was to, if you're going to do a show, you should have at least two people do a show together, or four.
Yeah.
You know, because you would bring in a bigger crowd. You don't have to handle the whole setting up and the running of it yourself, and that will leave more dates for other clubs to.
Yeah, we it's very difficult for GCAM to find a weekend when nobody is doing anything.
Well,
and we actually thought we found September 24th, and this was not on any calendar. The ERESIS IPR weekend was not on any calendar that we saw 3 or 4 months ago when we set this up. So this sneaked up on us. I just accidentally heard it when Falcon was here last week talking about ERESIS.
When's Sundance's anniversary? Isn't that the same weekend? I think that's the same weekend.
If it is, they're not on any calendar we've seen.
Okay, I don't know if Michael put it on the calendar. As you can tell, yeah. it all mixes.
Well, this is actually Mark's show. This is the ambassador show, and he's more than willing to move it to October 3rd. But you know, I need to check with people and find out what's you know, because sure enough, something's going to show up on October 3rd, too. I think there is.
I see, and that's, I go with the flow. Tell me, because like one night, we were at 5 Bed Benefits, from bar to bar to bar to bar, and I told Christopher, I said, I'm not doing this again.
No, you can't do
it. I can't travel from bar to bar to bar and spend 10 hours looking at the same people.
Yeah. And the different bartenders.
Just sort of rent a bus, do the benefit show on the bus, and just park in the parking lot. Whoever wants to add on to it, just come on in.
Well, they're saying, yeah. You know what? They do have that one party bus. Remember when it was in the parade?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how much that would cost to get, you know, travel around and maybe do something like that.
A mobile
four-hour tour of a bus will cost you, or the regular bus will be about $200 and change.
Okay.
And there's not enough bartenders for it, so nobody can come.
Yeah, that's true.
What is GCAM planning on the 24th?
It's Mark's show. It's supposed to be his farewell show as ambassador. That was a 2-year position. And it's, oh my gosh, what's the name of it? Oops. Double Jeopardy.
Double Jeopardy.
It's a Double Jeopardy show, yes. He's got the Jeopardy board set up. It's got categories on it. You pick a category, you pick a number, blah, blah, and they open it up, and there's a song there, and that's the song you get to do.
Oh, wow.
Now, if you don't want to do that song, and I think he's picking music from the 80s and 90s, I think. And if you don't want to do that song, you can pick a second one, but you have to do the second one.
Mm-hmm. But people can buy you out of the song if they want to.
Okay.
So
okay,
it's a little gimmicky thing, and it's fun, and you know, it's always interesting to get a drag queen up there to do a number that they're not well rehearsed in.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's all for fun.
Yeah.
And so this is Mark's big show because he's stepping down as ambassador.
Okay.
And
where is it going to be?
It's going to be at EJ's on the patio, September 24th at 3 p.m.
So the date's fixed.
We hope.
Yes.
We're willing, and we have the DJ, Joy De La O is going to be there.
Joy of the Water?
Joy De La O. That's her name.
Joy of the Water.
Whatever. I don't know what that means. If you say so, I'm not going to argue with that.
Okay.
She's a good DJ around the community, around town, and she's lined up to do it. I know she's also available on October 3rd, because when all this came up last week, I put it in panic mode and started, you know, contacting people. And
well, that's just a month away. Somebody's got to make a decision.
Yes, and I have to just say it out loud. Falcon was supposed to get back with me on Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, and he hasn't. Oops. Well, he's in for this year, so I can argue with him. He's royalty.
Well, right now they're in Waco this evening. I'm doing a fundraiser there.
Was he in Waco on Wednesday?
I don't know, Miss Reeves. I will take the fifth on that.
Hey, Judy.
He was at the HCC meeting.
You would have seen him.
Well, Craig was there because he was also there. Yes, he was at the TGRA meeting and went to the HCC meeting late. Jimmy was sick.
Yeah, you should have seen what poor Carlos did to Craig.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just as glad that I didn't. I do understand they had a conversation, though, which kind of shocked Craig.
Who?
Carlos and Craig.
Yeah, he dragged him over and talked to him. Talked about him.
About, okay.
And yeah,
with the Bears and G came and such.
Dragged him over to the rest of the meeting.
Well, he was supposed to be at the meeting, but TGRA had like 10 people, 10 organizations there. And you had to just kind of wait in line until you got your 3 to 5 minutes to speak. So then he went to there. But bottom line is, I don't know yet.
I don't know yet.
And I'm going to make a decision on Monday or Tuesday regardless. And if we do a big show without a Rhesus, that would be sad, but sometimes that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
And so, if somebody wants to find out when it's going to be for certain, how do they do that?
They can actually email me and ask, or they can email the executive committee.
Judy will be standing on top of the Cultural Center. One lamp will be the 23rd. Two lamps will be the 3rd.
That's right. 24th or 3rd. That's right. They can email me, curator@gcam.org.
Cool.
Or they can email Mark at ambassador@gcam.org or Craig. At, you know,
mm-hmm.
We're not proud. We'll let you email any of us. chair@gcam.org. They can call me at 713-692-8735.
That number again is?
713-692-8735. And that's the GCam number, and they can find out there at that number. There's all kinds of fun ways they can find out.
So is there like a calendar somewhere that everybody's accumulating all these things?
Well, yeah, there are several community calendars, none of which are kept up. You know, people start these things, and they go great guns for about 2 months, and then it gets to be tough because you have to either depend on all the organizations to contact you and let you know what's going
mm-hmm.
on,
mm-hmm.
or you have to dig on all the websites mm-hmm. to find out. And it doesn't last long. The community center has one. And what you have to do is you have to go on to the Bears calendar. You have to go on to eResus. You have to go to ICUH. You have to go to the, you know, Big Man's. You have to look up every single calendar you can think of. And then you get the Lone Solariates, and you get the BRB, and you get every one of the bars has a calendar. And you can spend all your time on a
mm-hmm.
calendar. And eventually, you know, and then you've got people like eResus, and I'm not knocking it, I'm just saying, that have shows every single weekend of the year.
Which wasn't supposed to happen.
Which wasn't supposed to happen. I know. I'm clear on that. I know it wasn't. The Bears do something quite frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're a big competition for us because we do Sunday afternoon shows, and the Bears do a lot of Sunday afternoon stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to plow through and do what you can. And we plowed through and found September 24th, and we couldn't find anybody. I sent a dozen emails out saying, do you have anything on this date? And I got a dozen emails back saying, nope, not that date. So we picked September 24th, and I accidentally was here last week.
Mm-hmm.
I had something I was doing. And I heard
Falcon, when he was doing the quickie for a Rhesus, say that they were doing that weekend and was like, what? So
are you advertising for talent right now?
Oh, yes, always. But Mark is doing the majority of the Tiff show. But anybody who wants to be in that show, either September 24th or October 3rd, it is going to be at 3 o'clock at EJ's, regardless of what the date is at this point. And you can just show up, or if you want to contact Mark or me, I'll happily pass the information on to Mark. We love, to have a big show, and it's a lot of fun. We start on time. We finish on time, 3 to 5. Whoop, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of fun.
Music and drinking.
Yes.
And you know what it would be really nice, since he's sitting over there, I bet you he has a lot of contacts of professional singers that might be free to come out.
You think?
Don't you think?
Professional singers?
Or non-professional singers? You know, anyone out there in the community that would come out and sing to raise money for...
Wouldn't have a clue. Nope.
Don't you get out much?
Not anymore, no.
Short leash.
I was going to say.
They have time. When you've got kids, you don't have time.
That's true.
And they're too young to come to bars and sing for us yet. But
right.
Somehow I figure at least one of them will hit a G-Cam show at someday.
Mm.
But junior high and high school, not quite yet.
I want to go to one of those revivals. That's a hoot.
Our next revival is already planned. It's for, I believe it's the second weekend in April. I think it's a 12th, maybe. I don't have it in front of me. But yes, we are doing our revival. It's already on the calendar for next year, and people can just work around us.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Because long before the holidays get here, they'll be hearing about the revival.
Sounds like it's a lot better than Catholic Church.
My goodness, yes. They are so much fun. So much fun.
As I rummage through, I think
that pocket looks like a closet.
I think my calendar is calling me. It's probably going to tell us about those dates.
Okay.
Let me see. Oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh, there they go. I was supposed to, this is from last year's Emperor,
mm-hmm.
JP.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to give a shout out to Cauliflower and to the 1990 graduates.
Well, okay then.
Since I am ordered to do so, I have to.
Well, guess what? Even if you weren't ordered to, I'd like for you to. Like JP. We can do things for him, even mm-hmm. though he is a...
Was he?
Yeah, that's true. See,
so glad, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, and he's having fun. He's having fun. But it's, I don't think you understand what a Wuzzy and all the emperor and empresses.
The duck emperor.
Yeah.
The empress and empresses I get. What's a Wuzzy?
He was the emperor last year.
Oh. That makes too much sense.
He's such a Wuzzy. He's a duck Wuzzy.
Uh-huh. There you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can I use that?
Oh, sure. Why not?
Sure, exactly. Anyone can. Yeah.
Wuzzy. Yeah, he's such a Wuzzy.
I want to be a Wuzzy from the G-Cam board. That's my goal.
No, you'll be on there forever.
It's not like a put-down or anything.
No.
It's a statement of fact.
Trust me, it's a proud title. You do that year of work, you deserve to be called a Wuzzy.
Yes. It's work. It's nothing.
Nothing but work.
I'm telling you... I wouldn't want to do it. Well,
I wouldn't do it for $1 million. Ugh. Did not want any more crowns on my head. Mm-mm.
So where did you live before you were in Houston?
Ohio. Columbus, Ohio.
What brought you to Houston?
Damn Yankee.
The University of Houston. I got a job there.
What'd you do for them?
I was a teaching coordinator. I went around the country and did workshops.
Teach teachers how to teach?
I teach, more along classroom management, how to handle their classrooms.
Did it work? No.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that you have to buy into, So let me see.
With a few more shout-outs.
No, I'm done.
Okay.
Anyway, but no, it's a different situation up there. So when I came down, and I was teaching for about 20-plus years, I got to a mode that I was just like, I'm tired of this. I need to find something. And they just happened to be working with our school, and they just happened to need someone, and I just happened to apply, and I got the job.
Just happened to work.
Uh-huh. It all fell into place, and I moved here.
But was it a step up or a step down?
I think it's to be honest, I think it was like, it was a step up from being in the classroom into actually being more of a a coordinator type individual who would, you know, kind of go and would talk to the school boards, talk to the school districts, administration, teachers, and do various we were data driven through the university.
But I mean, like coming to Houston for Columbus, the culture scene, was it a step up coming to Houston lifestyle wise?
That's a tough call. It's bigger. It's Columbus is just a big city. I mean, it's not as huge as Houston, but the culture there is quite different because we have major universities there. I mean, you do here, but up there you have LSU, which is like, you know, you have a lot.
Small cities.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, and there's like little ponds all around, little suburbs, and but it's considered one city, and it's wonderful. It's beautiful. They have temperatures that are lower than 90 degrees.
What a concept! and probably humidity that's less than 95.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And you have the seasons. But I was just at a point in my life that I'm thinking, you know, I need to do something. I need to branch out. You know, move out, see what I can do. So I moved down here. I worked for them for 5 years, and then went over to HISD. And that's where I'm at now. So,
well, so Ohio's lost in Houston's game. That's for sure. We're so glad you're here.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier about like the education system, and I told you I talked for like 6 years back in the 90s, and the only other male teacher in the school was gay, but. When I got into the teaching thing, you know, it was taken for granted that there were a lot of gay men in the teaching profession, and we were talking. I was just wondering what you were thinking, the reason that may be. It was my perception that there were a lot of gay men in the teaching profession. I think it's true. I'm not sure it's true.
It's
more than other professions, let's say.
I say it's equal. Because nowadays, I mean, see, this is Houston, and Houston's, I still consider it a blue state. And so it's kind of really hard to really, yes, you have a mayor who's a out and about as a lesbian. Yes, this and that. It's the fourth largest city, but you still have that stigma.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
no
it's,
about it.
I mean, you might have a council member, you might have, you know, various officials here in the city who are, you even have, you know, it's, but people really don't talk about that here, which is really kind of, you know, different than what I was used to. Because, like, being in Columbus, you know, going to a teacher's meeting with all the schools was like going out to the clubs.
Yeah.
You know, everybody knew everybody.
Well, having out mayors and out council members and so on do not help the status quo as far as the corporate world.
Right.
You know, just because you say, well, the mayor's gay, so I can come out at work, it's like, wrong. You don't dare in some corporate.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it depends on your surroundings because, you know, some schools are very open and they you know, they really don't care, but you're dealing with a population that might not be comfortable. So, you know, you do have to sometimes keep it quiet. Now, being in Columbus, everybody knew. I mean, the school I worked at, the staff went to the music teacher's wedding. You know, he was marrying another guy. But the whole staff went. You know, the parents knew in the community. As long as we were good at what we did, I don't think they really, really, really cared. Here, I just don't know how the...
You don't get the good vibe?
I don't...
I had a friend here with HISD who was up for an award, some kind of Teacher of the Year kind of thing, or her school, or whatever. And she was outed. It was a congratulatory letter sent to the school for, you know, being so open-minded, et cetera. She didn't get the award. She knew she was getting it. She'd been notified.
When
hadn't gone public. This was 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Hadn't gone public yet. I mean, they hadn't had their big awards dinner or whatever they were doing. She didn't get it.
No, this is Texas, and you're not going to find that. This is a state where if you came out as gay and you're a male, you'd lose your job.
Mm-hmm.
because parents would not tolerate it. They'd be afraid. Oh,
what are you talking about? You'd lose your life in some counties in this state if they found out you were a gay teacher.
But if you, but just focusing on Houston,
mm-hmm.
right? We're a cosmopolitan, more cosmopolitan mm-hmm. than other cities in the state. We've got people from the oil industry and all over the world coming here. So I get the sense that we're a little bit broader minded.
Big cities in Texas are
when it comes to our
more
kids.
Liberal.
Yeah.
But there's still that element.
People still don't feel comfortable. I mean, you know, when you go out to the clubs, I mean, you meet people and you just say, what do you do? So they're in education. But that's about as far as you go.
As far as it goes.
Yeah, unless you really know someone really well, then you kind of share little war stories. Other than that, it doesn't really, you know, hold up to a conversation. Now, and I think that's what kind of makes me sort of, you know, I'm glad that I'm not in the classroom anymore. That I can say. For being here, I'm glad I'm not in the classroom. Because I think it would be too difficult.
Mm. Mm. But back to your earlier question, I have a feeling that there are a lot of men in teaching because it's a profession that you need a lot of empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a nurturing
mm-hmm.
profession, and gay men would be drawn to
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Most gay men are nurturers, or fixers, or healers, or you know something that mm-hmm. has a tendency to cause security in others. How's that for a description?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because a lot of them aren't too. I mean, the very first gay teacher I ever had, and I only knew he was gay because everybody told me he was, you know. It's like, I didn't pay any attention to that kind of stuff. And I don't know what kind of words I can use on the radio to describe him, but we didn't get along real well. He had a reputation for being gay in the school, but with the students. I don't mean with the office and so on. But his big thing was he was going to prove how tough he was.
Oh.
And, you know, that was supposed to curtail the gay stories, I guess, or whatever.
No. That is
but just it just so didn't work.
Yeah.
So they're not all nurturers and so on and so forth.
That's true, that's true.
It's the individual.
But in another state, he might not have been that way.
Possibly, I guess, you know. Mm. And maybe he was afraid of the rumors. Maybe he had to do what he
could.
Yeah,
because...
I mean, my personal experience tells me that, you know, you're either that way or you're not. You don't act that way in public to curtail these kind of tales. You either like to, you know, slap kids around or you don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things.
Mm.
Well, I mean, being in a classroom, you have a lot that you have to deal with. And being a gay man and the sensitivity, that's part of it. Because you know it's not the money. it's not the money. But, I mean, a lot of the ones that I know who are teachers in the classroom, they're very passionate and they're very, I mean, I think more so than the, probably just as much as the women are, who are good teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it that way. Because there's always, you know, the exception to the rule. But they love what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just love it.
No question.
But coming here, you know, I don't know. It's different.
Let me put it to you this way, and another way. From 1988 to 1993, I was a member of the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard. And at that time, the switchboard is a place that is anonymous because you're getting calls from all kinds of people mm-hmm. and... It's not a good idea that they know who you are or that they find out who you are. So it's a completely anonymous thing. The office was anonymous. Nobody knew anything. We had a high percentage of teachers because that was the only place in the gay community they could volunteer.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
In fact, one year in the Pride Parade, one of the teachers joined the switchboard float, but had a paper bag over her head with two holes cut out, carrying a sign that says, "I am an HISD teacher. I'm wearing this bag, and I shouldn't have to."
Mm.
We used to have a lot of bags in the parade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, see, I mean, you know, I even have, like when my partner calls the school, you know, the receptionist knows, they know, you know, but it's not spoken.
Yeah.
You know, when they want someone to come out and say, to like kind of like put up some plaques or to do some modeling, they come and say, "Well, go ask Jim." So I go out there and I kind of like, you know, do the little gay thing, you know, which is, you know, which I don't mind. I mean, I think it's quite funny, but, you know, it's just, it's different, but it's not talked about. It really, I mean, at least the school that I'm at, it's not talked about.
And don't ask, don't tell then.
Basically, you know, you might be in depending on the environment that you're in. It might be different because I was telling you earlier about traveling down to Brownsville, and I was at a school where I had to do a second take where I thought it was someone going through the change, and this man woman was very accepted by the staff.
Really?
You know, I mean, because I kept looking, going, you know, you really look like him. Well, maybe not, but just a wonderful person, very flamboyant, but yet, you know, the staff liked this person, and I guess it's this your environment.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. But it's always kind of been that way in Houston, at least. I worked for a large corporation from 1967 to 1986. So, I started as a teenager. Never dated a woman. Never went to a company function with a woman.
Mm-hmm.
The very close friends I had there knew. It was never a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, later on, I found out all my bosses knew. It was no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's how you do your job and how you present yourself. You know, I guess I wasn't real flamboyant or anything like that.
Not back then.
Not back then, no.
Not in corporate drag.
Yeah. There was a time that I was very comfortable in a tie.
I know my supervisor at MD Anderson Cancer Center found out I was gay. A new dress code came out the following week, and it was like drag only, you know, heels, dresses, hose, the whole nine yards. Proper, you know, proper underwear. You know, not that I didn't wear proper underwear to work.
Right, right.
But I was a cashier, for God's sakes. It's like I'm
nobody
crawling in and out of
vaults.
Nobody saw me from the waist down, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And but there was this new dress code.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I don't think so. Of course, I immediately went to the head of the department. Who? Was he gay? No. You know, but you know, that was kind of amazing to me. Of course, we all know I had nothing but trouble from that woman anyway.
Yeah.
Soon she found out I was gay.
I think you got a very small portion of people who are very vocal. And the majority of people really don't care.
This one was vocal, but that's okay.
That,
I shut her up.
The ones
was
that
over
do
with.
Are mm-hmm. usually very vocal yeah. about it, and those are the ones that make your life miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Because I would say, you know, half the world doesn't care.
Yeah.
It's the stirrers that even cause them to say anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the stirrers are either very loud. And just, you know, they're just out there to cause trouble.
Yep.
They're out there to hear their own voices. That's what they are.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
That's true.
Mm.
But, you know, I was lucky. I got into a school that my best friend, she always hung around gay men her whole life. I don't want to call her that
please
term.
Don't. Thank you.
But you know, and so she introduced me. So she came. This was really funny. When I started working there, I didn't tell anybody. And so one day we went out to happy hour on a Friday. The whole staff went, and I was going to leave to go to one of the gay bars,
mm-hmm.
and so, because I was done socializing with them. So she and I was kind of tipsy. So she follows me out, and you know, she stops me, and she goes, "Well, you know, I'm okay with how you are." And I just didn't, it didn't dawn on me. I kept my mouth shut. And then the male teacher came out and started to talk too about that. He was gay and that they're very accepting here, that you don't have to stress and worry. And it still, it didn't dawn on me or register to like speak because I was like, what do you say?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think it was, that they knew right off the bat. And then I got in my car, I kind of drove down to the other bar, and lo and behold, just an hour later, here they come. You know? So it was different. I mean, I was lucky. I was even lucky when I came out to my parents. I mean, I was very lucky. I mean, but I'm the exception to the rule, I think.
Pretty much.
Yeah, because like, you know, the first 6 months was kind of, you know, I think my mom took it the hardest, but, you know, they took me to a psychiatrist 3 times.
Oh,
and then, you know, then they, after that, they were like, well, whatever. You know?
This isn't whatever. Working.
It isn't working. Move on. So, you know, so I was lucky there. And when I went to college, I didn't come out, but I was active. But no one cared, so I've been lucky.
You have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I wonder if coming out is easier for women. I don't know. I've never really talked about it to most women. I know that my partner's...
No, I'm gonna say no. I bet you it's not.
Well, I know that my partner, you know, had a really hard time with her mother when she told her years and years ago. But my parents, it's like, yeah, so...
And in fact, to your parents.
Yeah. In fact, my mother introduced me to my first lover. It's like, oh, okay. She didn't know she was doing it at the time, but she did. And once, yeah. And once I came out to my parents, it's like, my mother came to the Names Project in '88, and she came to support me, and she got there and stayed the whole weekend. Mm. And it's like, what the hell's going on? You know, she says, all these poor boys who don't have mothers anymore. I want to mother all of them. And it's like, okay. So she literally spent the entire weekend there.
Wow.
You know, talking to strange young men who she'd never met before, who had someone on the floor or, you know, et cetera. And so that was kind of amazing to me. And they also did the March on Austin with Bruce and me one weekend. We went up to stay with them so we could do the march. And he was like, can I go? And it's like, well, I guess you can, but we're marching. I mean, you know, heat, sun, water, you know. And then we ended up taking my stepdad, too, in a wheelchair because he couldn't have walked.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce pushed his wheelchair. So I don't know. I've never really talked to a lot of the women that I do know, but I think I might do that just to
but
see.
But don't you think most...
I'm the exception to a lot of rules.
Mm-hmm. Well, most straight parents have these preconceptions
of
their children... You know, one day, either, you know, marrying...
Yeah, but I was in my mid-20s by then, and my one love of, you know, had gone away and died. And so they knew I wasn't getting back with another guy, so...
the culture sort of sets them up to believe...
Oh, we're all set up to lose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're all set up to fail.
Well, see, I think I gave my parents enough clues, because when I was young, in elementary school...
I hate to interrupt your story there, but I need to step out and do some PSAs and come back for our ID, and then you can finish your lovely story.
Okay.
It'll be our closing story.
Okay.
Himalayan monk, His Holiness Swami Vidyajnananda, returns to Houston this mid-August for a series of Sanskrit philosophy discourses and Vedic heritage events. His Holiness has been invited to speak at Rice University, University of Houston, MD Anderson Cancer Center, and Museum of Fine Arts Houston. In addition to starting his discourses at the India House on August the 22nd, he will be speaking to the Bel Air High School students for the first time. A spiritual banquet featuring a classical Indian dance performance at the Old Stafford Civic Center on August 27th, and a Vedic fire ceremony, also known as a yagna, at the India House on September 11th, are special attractions. His Holiness is a highly ordained saint who also hails from the Kriya Yoga lineage of spiritual masters. For more details about the entire public program of lectures and events, please go to www.yoga4peace.org or call 713-249-8395.
KPFT Houston.
Hello, KPFT family. My name is Jim Krafka, and I'm running for the board of KPFT because I believe in KPFT's vision for Houston. 40 years ago, KPFT used music as a way to establish itself as a necessary and vital alternative here in Houston. KPFT provides a voice for the community that no other radio station can. I'm Jim Krafkin, and I believe music is as important to the station today as it was 40 years ago. For 40 years, Houstonians have turned to KPFT to listen, discover, and learn. Let's keep our great tradition alive. I'm Jim Krafkin, and a vote for me is a vote for the music. Thanks for your vote, Jim Krafkin.
This candidate statement is property of the author only and not KPFT or Pacifica. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston, 89.5 Galveston.
And you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Hello, we're back again.
Start talking. Start talking.
Well, we're going to let Jim tell his little closing story here because, much as I'd love to talk for days,
they limit us.
Wrong story. Gone again, huh?
I was just trying to think of what I was going to tell you guys.
Oh my goodness!
Oh.
You know, see, as I get older,
Jimmy's the only one in the room old enough to do that.
No, I don't know. My AARP card's right around the corner. I can't wait to get
it. He's had his for years.
Senior discount.
I've had mine for a dozen years.
See, I don't mind. But you know, I mean, I'm glad that I have the opportunity to come on here and kind of share some of my experiences, as brief as it, you know, my life is. I mean, you know,
you're an interesting character.
You know,
someone told me one time I should write a book because I know a lot of things.
Oh, I know a good ghostwriter.
You know any dirt?
I know a lot
of dirt.
If you want to hear dirt, you know, just what do you want to know?
Erasers, bears, I can go away, Christopher.
I can tell you stories. I mean, I'm the type that sits back and I watch and.
Oh, he does. Don't you just love it to see him at bar?
Uh-huh.
He sits back on his little bar stool in the corner and just kind of looks around the room while he sips.
I have my coffee and a lot of times I will be standing behind people and they'll be gabbing about people and they'll turn and go,
oh, hi Jim.
Oh, how long have you been there? The whole time.
Taking notes.
I know, you know, so those of you who are out there who can hear me, I know things about you.
And I'm willing to let him tell them.
Uh-huh. Exactly. So if you want me to keep your secret, you better be.
You know, we could write a tell-all book.
Mm-hmm.
And not a grassroots organization in the community would ever want for money again. Think about it.
There you go.
There you go.
I'm telling you, it's... I don't know. So, what do you want to know?
I got a question.
Okay.
Ask quick. So, we're running on overtime here.
Okay, real quick question. You belong to a lot of organizations, and you know a lot of people through them.
Mm-hmm.
What percentage of people of the gay community belong to organizations, would you guess?
Oh.
Oh, very high percentage.
I'd say not.
I would, too. I would say not. I'd say it's a low number.
Well...
It's high. It's a higher percentage than in the straight community
that
does volunteer work.
Right.
But a lot of the people who are involved in volunteer work are members of more than one organization.
Mm-hmm.
His question was, what percentage do you think is?
We're volunteer junkies.
Okay, put a number on it. Take a shot at it.
Maybe 10%.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me? 10% of the gay population belongs to an organization?
Well, yes. Not necessarily charitable or 501c3.
Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous don't count.
No.
And Sex Anonymous doesn't either.
But we've got lots of organizations in the gay community, you know, from sports to you name it.
Mm-hmm. I know, that's why I was thinking it's a much higher number than that.
But bowling leagues and all of this kind of stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why I was thinking it was a high number of members of the community who belong to organizations.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute.
The softball league alone is, thousands of people.
I get you. But remember, when we went to the Pride Festival this year, we saw faces we have never seen before, most of them. In fact, we had to look hard to find people we knew.
It's because we're old. All our friends died.
No. No.
They were smart enough to stay in the air conditioning.
You know, it's like all the people that we know from 501c3 organizations or charitable organizations or even sports or other organizations weren't there.
Mm-hmm. No, they were the smart ones. They were at home in the air conditioning.
These are all brand new faces.
If you look at the population as a whole, I mean, it's a big population of gay people in Houston.
How many people are in Houston?
Yeah,
2.5 million.
Well, so, I don't think he said in Houston. I thought you. I understood community. There's a big difference in our community and our gay population.
He's answering it the right way.
I get it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get it. I know that.
Well, in that case, if you're talking about the entire city, no, it is very low.
So 2.5 million people in Houston.
Mm-hmm. So at least, it's more than 2.5, isn't it?
Yeah.
No,
it's at least 250,000 gay and lesbian people.
Actually, I argue that.
So, yeah, that's why I think,
It should be, it's probably higher because we're a large city. We're a large city, yes.
Well, if you're talking the entire city, no, it's a very low number. I thought he meant the working community.
So I'll bet it's between 300,000 and 400,000.
Yeah.
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 And of those 300,000 or 400,000,
it's a small number.
30,000 of them are in various gay-centered organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Doing various things. Not just raising money, but just doing various things.
Yeah.
So, I've always argued that it's got to be higher than 10% because all them kids from all those little outlying towns come rushing to the city to get away from the prejudice and the negative aspects of being gay in a rural section. So I firmly believe that it's got to be closer to 15 to 17%, but that's totally unsubstantiated by
anything. I know.
Mm-hmm.
That's a personal belief.
But when you go out to these fundraisers, you see the same people.
Yeah.
The same people perform. The same people watch.
Yeah.
And it's because the ones who, you know, the ones that you try to get to come in, it's like pulling teeth.
It is.
And I hate to, you know, I hate to say it, but even when from club to club to club, when you go to perform, the same people performing and the same people watching, and the same people giving money. It's a little higher in the male section. It's a lot lower in the female section who will actually be driven to contribute during these fundraisers.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that that you have to look at as well. And I don't know why that is.
Why there are fewer females than males, or why there's less females donating than males?
Less females donating.
Because females make
don't have any money.
They make much less money than men.
Well, that's true. Well,
yeah.
That's, yeah.
Personally, I bring home less than $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of charity dollars. That's why I do other things.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean,
now, if you're talking about a straight couple, a woman making less than a man is,
she's spending his money.
Well, yeah, there's a man's salary there along with hers. But when you're talking about two women together, then it's two people making less than what they should be making.
Maybe that's why,
two guys making full salary, no children, that's a lot of money coming
out. That's rare.
Yeah.
That's rare, though.
But it is rare.
It is rare. Generally, you got two guys, only one of them's working a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
If one's working, you know, if two are working at all.
Let me talk.
Amen, honey. I know.
So,
but that's why, you know, at GCAM, the big fancy costumes and all of that come from men, and what we get from women are books and T-shirts.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's a sad life, but that's the way it is.
Yeah,
and that's, and the more you do it, the more you kind of, sometimes the frustration level is very, very high too,
because
it's like, you know, you bust, and then it's just, it doesn't pan out, and you feel like, geez, what more can I do or say to get some people to be active? But then again,
I know.
Then again, I look at myself. I'm not as active as some. I mean, there are some that are out there, like my partner.
Oh, yeah, he lives for it.
He lives for it. I don't. I can take it or leave it.
It's a mindset.
Yeah, it really is. It's like, you know, on the computer 24/7. He's probably on it right now.
Every time I think I'm talking to you on a computer, he says, oh, this is Christopher. I'm like, well, I'm talking to Jim.
Christopher told me, he says, Judy sent you a message on Facebook. I went, Facebook? Yeah, your Facebook. Who has a Facebook? I don't have a Facebook account.
Well, it's because he spoke to me. I was like, he says,
he set
hi,
it up
blah,
for
blah,
you,
blah.
Didn't
I went, hi, you know, that's what I'm talking about tonight.
He didn't even know you had one because he set it up.
So if I'm ever ugly to you in a bar when I see you, it's because of something you told me on Facebook. Trust me.
Okay. Because we have the one laptop at home. Because when I leave work...
And he's only 24/7.
Yeah, and when I leave work, I don't want to be on a laptop. I'm done. I did it. I've been 12 hours. I'm done. And so...
So he took your picture... Put it on your own account.
Oh, yeah.
And he responds to all your messages.
He is a computer guru. He loves his computer. Oh, my God. If you want to know something about it, ask him.
I love your lover. He is...
A pistol. There
is, yes, he
He's
is.
A pistol.
I love his sense of humor. When we're out of the bar, I love standing next to him.
He can be a pistol. Can we all have an amen on all that? He's probably at him going, wait till he gets home. Wait till he gets home.
I'm seeing if he's posting anything on Facebook now.
He'll be doing it under Jim's name.
Probably, yes.
But not only that, he has a wonderful imagination. All mm-hmm. of his shows have something a little different mm-hmm. to them than
it's called
shows.
Twisted.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you know, sometimes he'll give out little things to
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
audience members.
Little things?
Yeah. You know, like little heart shaped pieces of glass.
Something for performing or whatever.
You know, or, yeah, just.
I've got several things that he gave us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he's amazing. He's mm-hmm. just amazing.
Yeah, he loves it. But, you know, if you try to help him, it's wrong. So you just stand there and go, okay.
No type A there, no.
Yeah, you just but.
Because he knows how he wants it done.
He knows how he wants it done. And mm-hmm. he will, I mean, he's on the phone constantly trying to get people to come in. Mm-hmm. I mean, he tries to bring in people from outside the city, which I think is his last show. He's going to be bringing in some big names from outside the city.
Oh, nice.
Some from the other courts,
yeah.
But they're real big name. No, uh-huh. no. So he's
definitely a go-getter.
Yeah, he is, and he'll tell you how. He has no qualms to tell you how it is, right?
No, absolutely.
None whatsoever.
He will tell you how it is.
That's right.
And he won't be polite about it, won't you, Christopher? If you don't see me tomorrow, shoot me.
Yeah, I understand.
I'd rather have somebody honest with me than talking behind my back.
True.
And Christopher is never going to do that.
True.
Chris will get his chance to come in and talk about
good,
you. It's
good.
Okay.
Okay, no, that's
you
one,
were
that's
the
one.
First. That doesn't mean you're the only one.
Okay.
Christopher will get his.
What's his stage name?
No.
Sparkles is what he's known by, yes.
Or Cubby Christopher.
Or Cubby Christopher.
Christopher.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he is. Anyway. We all have our moments in the spotlight, you know.
Christopher carries his around with him.
Yes, he does. It's hooked up to his back.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But that's okay.
Oh, you will pay for that.
That one you did.
Hey,
I didn't say
well.
That, Chris.
Oh, well. Easy come, easy go. Sleep on the sofa again.
Yeah,
well.
It's a nice sofa, though.
Mm. It really is. It's, yeah. very, very comfortable.
That sofa says, come sleep on me.
And Chris is quiet?
Is this the same sofa that you had the last time?
No.
Oh, uh-uh. You have a new one?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Because when we moved closer into town, mm-hmm. I said, I don't want that.
Chris obviously doesn't have headphones on. You're talking about cactus, and he's not saying anything.
Okay.
It's okay. It works.
He can hear you.
Okay.
I have no doubt.
Yeah.
But, Yeah, but you know when we moved in closer into town?
No, I did not know.
Yeah, we're over wherever we're...
I knew they moved.
Where are you now?
Where the Erisas family all live. In that little community off of 18th Street.
Ah.
Back over in there. Okay. Right. So it's like, it's, oh my God. right down the street from JP.
Mm-hmm.
So you know him and Craig Christopher.
Oh, my God. They're dangerous together.
Yeah, they're, in fact, they're probably still out. Mm-hmm.
They are dangerous.
They're in the car together. Listening now.
Well, they were. Well, you know what? The funny thing is, Christopher went to JP's reunion this evening.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Christopher's last weekend.
My goodness.
And I'm sitting there all by myself, and people are going, and who are you? And I don't remember you in my class. No, I'm with him. And they go, okay. Yeah, well, he was just bouncing around.
I can imagine.
Oh, but I guess so. My 30th reunion was last year.
Mm-hmm.
30 years. So that tells you that I'm getting up there.
Mm.
Well. Yeah, considering my 40th was last year. What?
See?
And mine was several years ago.
Several, see? But you know what? But you know what? That's one thing. I mean, people, well, I'm a little bit younger, and I'll go there, but people our age, you know, and there needs to be some young people listening out there that need to step up and kind of like take the reins. Come and learn from Jimmy and Judy and, you know, on how to be a community member to get actually involved, because
when we turn to dust.
Exactly. That's how I look. I'm like, you know, these young people have so much energy and so much imagination, and we'd love to have them come out. And
yes.
You don't have to join. You can just come out and be there.
It seems like it's so commonsensical, you know, that you like you say, leverage all that energy. And we tried to get somebody recruited for GCAM from the 20-somethings out in Houston from the teaching community. And you never got
a response.
Nope.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It is hard.
But it seems so commonsensical.
The 20s are the partying years.
Yeah.
I guess.
Once they hit 30, then they'll start thinking about it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not, because the 30s aren't thinking about it. But the 20s and 30s didn't do what we all did.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to.
They don't have a clue what we did.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
And until they put that history in the schools, then they never will, so they don't have a gauntlet to pick up.
Yeah. I met my wife volunteering.
There you go, see?
Mm-hmm.
I expect your kids to be volunteering before too long, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have school. We give little forms for volunteer hours at GCAM.
Mm-hmm. You know, there are several of the charter schools and the private schools that part of their curriculum is volunteering, so we have a lot of them come. A lot of middle school and high school kids who come to volunteer to clean the playground, to tutor, to whatever in the school. Or because they used to go to our school, so that's why they're coming back. But they can do other things than that.
Sure.
But that's part of their curriculum.
Yeah, we have our summer school program with GCAM. We didn't have any students this year, but a couple of years back we had a couple of girls from the Pasadena Preparatory School.
Yeah, and they were great.
Came all the way to Montrose to volunteer.
Mm-hmm. And
they were fabulous.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So. Mm-hmm.
I think that should be part of the curriculum, you know? I mean, when you go to college, they look at those various components of your background, and volunteering, you know, is a big aspect.
Should be.
Yeah, so. But. Are we going to wrap it up?
We're going to wrap it up.
Well, they gave us a couple extra minutes here.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that you came tonight. That's wonderful.
I'm glad you asked, because you know I'm always willing to come on the radio to talk.
Well, we have to give Christopher equal time.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Don't want to get lopsided. So.
Oh, that'll be fun.
It will definitely be interesting. I keep that little list of seven words in front of me. Okay, then. I think your children have those seven words. They took them home. They framed them. They're on the walls in your bedroom.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Yeah, that was their highlight of this station visit last time they were here.
But, it was a lot of fun.
Well, thank you. I had a great time. I mean, you know, just ask me.
Unlike Tim Brookover, you showed up.
Oh.
Ooh, Tim.
And the hits just keep on.
I'm telling you. Poor Jim. I'm telling you. Well, you know, the problem is nobody will ever know about David Lewis, the personal trainer, and his experience with HIV issues, who's created the Project Empower program over at the community center, and he's going to be doing free classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Wow.
Beginning in September for people who are HIV, and this is a program, a pilot program, to try to help people get and stay healthy mm-hmm. with HIV and so on. It's a shame Tim and David didn't show up tonight. Talk about that.
Yeah.
Well, you talk about that.
No.
There you go. Enough said.
We're wrapping up.
And I'll talk to Falcon.
You talk to Falcon. Tell Falcon I'm gunning for him, honey. If he wants to step down without crutches, he better call me.
September 24th or...
October 3rd.
At...
EJ's, 3 o'clock on the patio.
And...
With D.D. It's Mark's show, Double Mark. Jeopardy. It's Ambassador Mark's. And we have DJ Joy De La O, who's going to be...
Music.
I would say spinning CDs, I guess, DVDs for him.
Music and...
Not necessarily.
Drinking. Yes, music and drinking.
All right.
Well, I don't know how much vinyl she'll have.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of DJs still have a lot of
vinyl. Well, that's true, except that most of our performers won't bring vinyl.
Right.
Okay. But thank you anyway. And thank you, John, for coming. Thank you, John, for being my transportation and not making me walk 6 blocks and bloody my face to get here.
Yes.
To say nothing about being your co-host.
Cool.
I said that earlier, but
and asking the actually, I call my sidekick.
And asking the geeky straight guy questions. So. And please feel free to wear your pants with a hole in the crotch next month.
It's okay.
All right.
Yeah. I was telling the guy out working the desk that last show you used the term bareback, and he explained it to me.
Oh.
Robert had to explain it to him. Next month we have a great program. Too, we have Orland Culliver coming with a.
You're kidding?
No, with the gentleman from. Body Electric. Talking about the Dallas weekend that they're going to be mm-hmm. doing. So that's going to be exciting, too. Oh, you'll have a lot of geeky straight guy questions next month.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Jim, you can tune in. Be sure you listen.
Oh, I will. You know, it was with Orland. I want to know what he has to say. Because he's kind of out there.
And who knows? Stephen may even be in town. You never can tell.
That's true.
That would be great.
All right. Great show tonight, guys.
Well, thank you. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you for helping, Jimmy. Yep. You got music for us, honey?
Of course I do.
I knew you did. Uh-huh. You're just sitting there waiting to punch a button.
You know I am.
Love you.
Here we go.
Cause you're never gonna show no emotion.
All right.
You are going old school.
I know. It's just been an old school night tonight.
That was Bronski Beat. Hold on, I gotta push this stupid button.
Yeah.
There we go. Bronski Beat was Small Town Boy, and before that we did Sylvester.
Yeah, Rock the Box, and then before that was Nona Hendrix, No Emotion. And let's see, what did I... You know, I didn't even announce what we started the show off with. Goodness gracious. Did a double shot of Scissor Sisters. Let's see. Everybody Wants the Same Thing is what we started the show with, followed by Mary, in honor of Jimmy. And then we did Janis Joplin, To Love Somebody.
Yeah, the Scissor Sisters have a new CD and come out, a new song. They had a video come out recently on that. Maybe I'll put that as the video of the week next week.
Oh, that'll be cool.
Yeah, if you're watching on Facebook, give me some feedback. Let me know what you think of it. You know, I don't post much on there for the... Just mainly Friday nights we put out a thing telling you what... what's coming up for the show tonight. And lately we've been doing a video of the week,
which I think is actually kind of cool. That's pretty neat.
And what we're doing, and like what we play here, the music we play on our show here, is this openly queer artist. We did the Kinsey Six. We did Coswell.
Now, have you ever explained to people the difference between gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and queer?
Well, queer is just the umbrella term.
Well,
so that we don't have to. Go
it means anything not missionary standard.
No, what we do is we go when we say queer. You know, because you know straight people can do the reverse cowgirl and the wheelbarrow and
be considered queer.
Yeah, but when we talk about queer, we're talking about the GBT. GLBT, the greasy bacon, lettuce, tomato.
There you go. Now we've defined it. I like that. Greasy lettuce, bacon, tomato. Okay, and I know what I'm eating on the way home now.
The greasy?
But the thing is with the music we play here on this show, and, you know, I think Scissor Sisters qualifies now as the most mainstream that we play, followed by Pansy Division. We don't play a lot of Melissa Etheridge. And we play some Katie Lang. You're going to hear some Elton John next week. Because we have a tradition with...
Not that he's queer in any way, shape, form, or fashion.
No, not at all. No.
But we don't play the mainstream art. I mean, I've been here, 13, 15 years. I think we played Rufus Wainwright once.
Really?
Yeah, that's it.
Once. Does that mean we should do him again, or should we just move on?
Should I fall out of my chair now?
We've never played Mika.
Gesundheit.
We haven't played Coswell, except we've broadcast the video. We haven't shown any of his songs on the air, because we like doing the smaller artists who don't get that airtime,
especially like some of our local artists.
Yeah, like with this week we're highlighting Jay Arsenault, who we interviewed here on After Hours, and that's the kind of stuff that we do with that. I'm trying to show some of these. Videos out there of artists that you don't hear about. You know, the Kinsey Six, their new album came out, and then they came out with this BP is Creepy song, and
which was actually kind of funny.
It was a cute one, so we decided to highlight that one. We did the Coswell.
You did that one. Who was that with Margaret Cho?
I forget her name, but it was a friend of Jill Sobel's.
But we played Queen.
No,
we've never played Queen. No. My heart's broken.
Well, he didn't come out as queer until it was like, by the way, I'm bisexual. That was it. He wasn't out performer. Until the day before he died, practically, is how that works.
I don't know how you could have missed it though.
I know. But, and that's the thing, and we don't play the gay anthems you're not going to. We don't play Adam Lambert. We don't hear Madonna or Cher.
It's Raining Men.
We do play that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was beginning to get worried.
Well, because we have a little queer album, so that's the kind of stuff that we do with this, of doing these artists. I was teasing about forget what song it was. I heard them playing.
I bet you don't do any Bette Midler either, do you?
We do some Bette Midler at Christmas.
You know how she got her start, right?
Yeah. Bathhouse.
Yeah.
Like Jimmy, she worked in a bathhouse.
Yeah, but unlike Jimmy, she wasn't on her knees. She was actually sitting on the piano singing.
she was performing in a bathhouse like Jimmy, let's put it that way.
Yeah, just a different performance. Okay, where's Jimmy? He should be running in here threatening us with his life by now.
We play her at Christmas time.
Yeah.
And the main part of that is she sings a Christmas Hawaiian Christmas song. And since right after Christmas, Jimmy usually is going to Hawaii, we play that. So let's get into the MBB letters.
Are we ready for those?
Yes, it's that time again.
Actually, I'm going to read the virgin first. I'm assuming he's a virgin because it sounds like it's the first time he's written to us. And with some anonymity, I'm going to say is...
A first name only.
Oh, I'm just going to go GRM. Oh,
okay.
He shouldn't figure out who he is by that.
Oh, okay.
And, honey, I want to tell you something. I don't read script well. So I sit here and I type the whole thing out. So if I got it wrong, you can beat me up in your next letter with a nice big pen with block letters so that I'll be able to read it.
And thick ink.
Thick ink, yes. I haven't seen a point on a pen this fine since I was 12.
Yeah, it's pretty fine.
And you
it's
have
quill.
A okay, yeah, it's a quill. It looks script. It actually does look like copper's plate script. Yeah. It's absolutely the most gorgeous writing I've ever seen in my life. I can't read it at all. I'm joking.
It was Xeroxed badly.
Well, it's not. That's actually handwritten with ink, and it's called a 0.1 millimeter script pen.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, and it barely lays ink to paper.
I know,
and
but it is
when you're my age,
beautiful writing.
Oh, it's beautiful writing, but when you're my age, that little bitty light stuff's hard to read, honey. I had to get out my biggest glasses. Okay.
And those are pretty big.
Since I have gone to all the trouble of transcribing this into large print on my screen so I can read it.
Okay.
It says, to the After Dark, greetings. May this short letter find each one of you in the very best. With my greatest and utmost respect. This is the second time listening to your show. Very, very interesting and, of course, exciting. Stick his tongue out at me on a little bitty curly Q thing on the paper.
Ooh.
See, seriously.
I
could see.
Oh, you betcha. I can see tongue. Trust me, honey. That's one thing. I can see something else. We'll get to that down further in the letter.
Okay.
I just don't find the little hot words spoken at times that, of course, make me turn out the lights and ... smiley face. But find a lot of your topics interesting that I'm, getting hooked on your talk show. Great. I like people getting hooked on the talk show. If you got to get hooked on something, this is the thing to get hooked on.
Uh-huh.
If it's not this you want to get hooked on, we can describe a few other things, but probably...
Triphonics.
Anyway, I'd like to ask you all a question. Oh, now this gets good. You ready? It's for a friend. Ha ha.
Yeah.
If one fantasizes, let's say, 3 days out of the week about sleeping with a transsexual, you know, breasts, et cetera, and yes, oftentimes of... Now, at first, when I first read this deal, and it's probably my mind, the little arrow that went to the side kind of looked like...
Yeah.
Something long, cylindrical, hard, and that I have a fascination with.
Gotcha.
I'm sorry?
Salt shakers?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Salt shakers. Absolutely salt shakers. We'll go with that. But I could be wrong, and it could be my prejudice that's interpreting this symbol, so we'll go on. The in-between, but at one time had a chance to go through with one and chickened out, where would you categorize me? Now, at this point in time, honey, I don't categorize men. We leave that to Jimmy. He's the one that has the wisdom and the age to properly determine where you fit on the category. But be aware, he's also got a little prejudice.
I really feel that people kind of should label them their own selves.
I totally agree with that.
I do that. It only gets kind of weird when it's so obvious that a person is one way and they're claiming another.
Oh, that was wisely spoken. Oh, great one. It really was. And I so agree. All right. Second question. same letter, same author. Is there a chance I'd be able to get a picture of y'all? All y'all. Kind of put a little something into these sexual fantasies, giggle. But really, just to put a face on them voices I'm hooked on, wink. I heard your show last weekend and have heard you all send hellos to some listeners and all. Oh, let's answer the question because we went to another topic there.
Okay.
He wants a picture.
Of?
Us.
Yeah.
We have one on the Facebook page that we should be pulling off and making copies of because several other guys have asked for pictures. But that would be Chris and Wes's purview.
Okay. I want you aware, as we stated earlier, that a picture of me will destroy any sexual fantasies you might have because I have a radio face.
Oh.
So and a radio body.
So if we send one for you of yours, we don't have to worry about laminating it first?
No.
Laminating it, honey, only if it's with opaque paper that you're laminating it will be good. You can do anything you want to. I really don't care. You can put my face anywhere you want it. I really don't. But when they scream in agony from seeing it, not my problem. I heard your show this last weekend and have heard you all send hellos to some listeners from Austin, Texas. Is it possible you could put it out there that if a person is interested in befriending someone as outgoing, good sense of humor, and lonely, parent me,
yeah,
unclosed parent, if so, he could write, call your station and get my info. Absolutely.
Yep.
And we realize that you don't want your info put out on the mail, mm-hmm, so we're going to say if you guys want to write to GMR, he is currently in Midway, Texas.
Okay.
And that's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Well, they get us in Midway?
Yeah.
Amazing, isn't it?
That is amazing.
He's in Midway.
Do you know where Midway is?
I haven't got a clue, honey.
Waco.
Waco? Waco,
wow. Wow.
Midway is just south of Waco.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that where them signs are on the freeway? Do not pick up hitchhikers, yada, 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 yada?
Yep.
Oh, cool. Well, anyway, GMR is in Midway, Texas. And if you would like, and you're around, apparently he's from around Austin, if you'd like to write to him and befriend him and give him something to do, you can send a request via our email or our mail stop and say, would you please forward this to GMR? And what will happen is he'll get the first letter, make sure you give him your return address, yeah, and then he'll write to you with his information, and then y'all can let us out of the loop at that point.
If you want to keep us in the loop, we'll stay in the loop.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're willing to stay in the loop. I'm just saying.
We'll build a little locker that we can pass notes around after school.
And, and where would they send this request, Chris?
After Hours, at care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard. Lovett Boulevard.
Ooh.
Houston, Texas, 77006.
Or if you want to email it to us, you can email it at afterhours@kpft.org.
And to continue this letter, I'm on my way out of here in, if not 1.5 months, a few months. Glad this is over, but I'd like to befriend or a few friends. If anyone out there would like to ride, I'd rather them get my info from y'all, which is what I just did, and mm-hmm, not have it put on the air, which is what I just did. Well, I do enjoy this talk show. Well, thank you. I'm glad you're enjoying us. I really am, and I hope you continue to enjoy us even after you luckily get out. I would like to know how I can set up to send in my pledge. We can release money. So, if so, please let us know where we could send a money order /who to.
Oh.
Now, again, I turn that over to our most wise one, Jimmy.
That same address.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll close. I can't wait for this weekend since you all be talking about or get a lot more hot. Well, actually, I'm pretty lukewarm right now myself, but, you know, Jimmy's hot. He's been outside. Let me go ahead and take a long shower, wash these things, and that long, hard, cylindrical object won't let me sleep. I paraphrased. I know what you wrote. I'm not reading it. So, got to take care of it. Yeah, you do that, honey. I'll think about you. Until then, nice long lick on each ass cheek. Stick out tongue, sincerely, Bull. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's named himself Bull at the bottom of the letter, which I should have remembered and didn't. So let's do it. Bull. If you want to write to Bull, befriend him. And apparently he's going to get out into the Austin, Texas area when he leaves.
Okay.
And it's within 1.5 or a few months.
Okay.
We seem to be having quite a number of people that think that their time is shorter.
Oh, good.
And that's very good. I'm very happy that they're not going to be incarcerated. The next one's rather short. This one apparently is also from a newbie. I love newbies. I especially love short, plain writing newbies. I'm joking. I love all these letters. They're actually a blast. Hello to the whole After Hours crew. I'm writing to inform you all of a wonderful show you all are casting. And I'm currently incarcerated, believe it or not. Well, I believe you. Honest. Today, 8:15.
Return address, yes.
Yeah, your return address was the first clue. Today, 8:15:10 is only my second time listening in to the After Hours show. My first time was 8:08:10. I came across the show by channel surfing on the radio. I'm a bisexual black healthy male. I'm 32 years of age, and I'm very secure in my manhood. Mm-hmm. Sounds like it. Sounds cute, too. Let me keep going. Also, I'm moderately attracted to the other races, white, Spanish, etc. I'm in Rocheron, Texas, on the Tom Darrington unit.
Mm-hmm.
Darrington. I'm sorry, I've got to put my glasses on. My eyes started defocusing. I apologize, everybody. They do that every once in a while. They just decide to go sideways on me, and then I have to pull out these blasted glasses. On the Tom Darrington unit now. That I have found out about the show, I will be a loyal listener every Saturday night at 12 to 4 a.m. I hope you all get this letter and read it over the air, which I have. I did the whole entire thing. Also, my name and number for pen pal purposes, please. I do not have anyone to write. Well, I do not want to take up much of the show's time. Please think about me. My info. Do I read it?
Yes.
His info, since he asked us to?
He asked us to.
Okay. This is Mr. Bradley Morgan. He's number 104-8593. Let me repeat that so you get it right. It's number 104-8593, Rocheron, Texas, 77583, Darrington Unit. Again, Bradley Morgan, 104-8593, Rocheron, Texas, 77583, Darrington Unit. If you didn't get all that, you send us an email or call or whatever, and we'll be happy to repeat it for you. P.S. I will be tuned in every Sunday morning, sealed with a kiss. Keep it short, simple. Yours truly, Brad. Ha, ha, ha.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Brad. It was a cute letter. I absolutely adored it. I bet he's a pistol. What do you want to bet?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm saving that one for last because it has poems, and I'm going to read them the very last thing. Okay.
You're going to have to.
If you're going to
make that one concise,
yeah. I'm going to have to make it concise.
Yeah, and because you only got a couple minutes.
I've only got a couple of minutes.
We need to do this story, do this letter. We're going to have to do our PSAs top of the hour. Then we'll come back. We'll do deep cover and his
2 points.
His 2 poems. Then we'll start roundtable.
Okay,
cool. That works for me. Dear sirs, brothers, and sisters et al., and I'm going to call this guy George as an anglicized version of his real name, which I'm not repeating over the air, okay? Just George. And
you won't say Jorge, but you'll say it's an anglicized version.
I'll go. It could have been Russian or Egyptian or Greek.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, and we're all straight.
I am. Straight to bed.
Okay.
Oh. Dear sirs, brothers and sisters at Al, re-update general info, materials, request for membership, etc., etc., etc. Now, I have 2 letters from this man. Number one is a carbon of one he sent us before and says we didn't get.
Oh.
I don't know if we got it or not. I'm going to hand it to Jimmy and let him look it over and see if he remembers getting it.
I don't remember this one.
Greetings. This letter of acknowledgement is written with all due respect and sincerity. Please see enclosed carbon copy of already sent letter that I see you didn't receive. Please let me know when you do get the original. Long story. Okay, well, I must say, please say hello to Deep Cover.
who makes me sweat and then some, smiles as I see something else. Please tell that I want to get a communique going, better said from him, so we can stay in touch until I go home, 9:30, 11. Don't say that, but soon. Oh, well, sorry, honey. If you want me not to say something from now on, tell me before you put it in the letter. Don't say this, and then tell me what you want to say. Working on it to go home. Please let him know this Latino is very good people, postmodern, down to earth, out of Houston since 79. We'll keep it real. I think Deep Cooper has a admirer. You guys are a riot. Please send me a sample of pics from the Lou Bresling visit and the so-named lube ordeal with those from the Misfits. I want updates on all that, please, okay? Tell me more about the Misfits. Get me on mail lists. Send me a membership form, also for my love, plus general information on all you do and all I much sincerely, da-da-da-da. Now, again, pictures of us is easy. Now, pictures of the Lou Bresling visit, I understand there may not be any in our possession.
Actually, there are some on Facebook from one of the guys that was in the Lou Bresling. But before I get into that, let's do our PSAs real quick.
Okay, and then I'll finish this letter because there's a couple other things he wants me to say. Yeah. And
on August 16th, ballots will be sent to qualified members to participate in this year's local station board election process. Voters are encouraged to research all information presented by candidates, to ask questions of candidates and staff, and to be informed voters in the interests of a better Pacifica. If you think you're a member eligible to vote in your local station board election, and you should have received a ballot but do not, you still have time. Contact our local elections supervisor, Kathy Kidd, at LES_KPFT@Pacifica.org. Please help researching your membership by sharing any supporting membership information you have. Check PacificaElections2010.org to learn more about the issues. Keep an eye on your mailbox. Your ballot should be arriving shortly. This is KPFT Houston.
My name is David Cedeno, and I am a listener member who has been listening to the Mighty 90 for less than a year. Diversity in the programming is one of the main reasons that my dial has been locked on KPFT. I am running for the local station board to be part of something that I find to be necessary in our society, that is community. A listener-sponsored radio station is one of the answers to our ever-growing problem of a fast-changing world. Being part of the local station board will give me the opportunity to further support KPFT's diverse and positive community. Please vote for David Cedeno.
This candidate statement is property of the author only and not KPFT or Pacifica. You're listening to 90.1 KPFT Houston, 89.5 in Galveston.
I know I can't comment on the electoral things, but I hate that music she has at the end of them all.
Oh, goodness.
Actually, I'm just looking for another 2 weeks off.
Valkyries instead.
Huh?
Should it be Flight of the Valkyries instead?
I don't know. It's something
boom,
about,
ba-dum, boom,
something about that string quartet at the end. You're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. God, that sounded too top 40-ish.
Anyway, I'm going to say
it's worse.
To finish this out, if Deep Cover wants Jorge's address, he can ask us for it, and we'll ship it in our next communicate to him. Jorge, the carbon letter is in Jimmy's hot little hands, and he's going over it, and we may go over it next week, depending on time and scheduling. I'm going to let Jimmy sort that one out. No
offense.
Well,
he's talking about Lovett Boulevard, as a matter of fact, because he's familiar with it. Because he walked down it jesting about the Lovett Inn with Mickey Pratt, who lives in the back, probably doesn't anymore. And that big white house on the same side where Old Mother's was. Well, those are now townhouses. That's all gone. Well, a lot has happened. The Montrose has really changed.
Oh boy, isn't that the truth?
Here.
Since I first moved here, and that was
goodness. Yeah. Wow.
As a matter of fact, the 2 years that I just spent in Austin, Montrose has really changed. I was just absolutely amazed when I actually started comparing what was in my mind to what existed.
Yeah.
Were you out there for 2 years, really?
Oh, yeah. Honey, can't you tell? I'm a total wreck.
I didn't realize it was that long.
Who was Lou Bresling?
I think he meant the Lou Bresling. From
Well, there was also a Lou Bresling, wasn't there?
I think he meant the Lou Bresling from Lloyd and Robert's anniversary show over at Ripcord.
Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact. Oh, I didn't.
We got pictures of that?
Like I was saying before we went to the PSAs, one of the wrestlers who's a friend of mine on Facebook, posted about 57 pictures from the Lube Wrestling.
Wow.
Oh, cool. So all you have to do really is go to your Facebook.
Go to my Facebook page and how's he listed in there? I want to say it's under Alpha Boy for You, and he's got like 57 57 Lube Wrestling pictures there.
Only 57.
He also mentions this new place he heard of called South Beach. South Beach is not new anymore. It's been around quite a few years.
I remember the night heaven burned.
Yeah.
I was standing on my balcony watching it burn to the ground. I was living on Pacific Street in those days.
JR's and the Mining Company are still there. The Ripcord's still there.
611 still there.
The
611.
611. Bricks is now George. And
the little Latino bar behind is now Crocker Street. I can't remember what it was before it was Crocker Street.
And Cousins is now TC's.
And Meteor is now owned by Charles Armstrong.
Yeah.
Investments. Yeah. Incorporated.
And Pacific Street became Oz, which became Blur, which
is, became.
Became
confused.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not. I'm sure they know what they're doing. It's just that me is confused. You see anything else in there you want to highlight and tell him about? Or should we just...
He wants Deep Cover to write to him.
Oh, yeah. He did that in the other letter, too.
The one thing is that I think he would have to send the letter to us and send it on, because if I remember correctly... You can't have prisoner-to-prisoner communication.
That's exactly right.
So, definitely send it to us at After Hours Care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77006, and we will...
Oh, do we get to read the love letters to them over the air from each other?
No. We'll just forward them along.
Oh, darn. No. I was getting all hot and bothered there for a second. Prison porn.
Even if you send them.
And a lot of things he asks us to send them, we can't send them because they won't be allowed.
Oh, really?
Like flyers from the Ripcord and things like that.
No pornographic materials.
They won't allow that.
Most of that stuff, like magazines and newspapers and all that, you have to get it directly from the publisher.
Yeah.
Well, you realize my picture's rated R, right? Because it scares small children.
They won't forward that to him.
Okay.
I still don't understand what you just told me.
If you forward a prisoner letter from one prisoner to another prisoner, they'll take you off the allowed prisoner mail list.
They won't give it to the prisoner, and they'll take you off the prisoner's mail list.
Only if they catch us.
Oh.
They do read their mail. Trust me, George and I went through that a dozen times when we were writing.
Ooh.
Oh, we'll get you-know-who to handle it.
Okay.
Dear After Hours, Jimmy West, Chris, Judy, and the whole crew, even the wizard Merlin, and he spelled Merlin correctly this time, except it's Y-N, honey, instead of I-N. But that's okay. As far as I'm concerned, it's close
and
enough.
And he didn't spell it right.
He called him Marlin last time.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's close enough for me. I hope you guys are all feeling good and in a fine state of mind. Well, man, I got out of segregation, and I was supposed to be staying on that unit, but they shipped me off I can barely get KPFT in Woodville. It comes in and out. I caught some of the after hours, though, so yes. But come to find out, I'm a high security risk and can't stay on this unit, so I'm in transit, waiting to find out where I will end up. It doesn't matter as long as I can still catch KPFT. I need my after hours. It may be a week or two before I find out what unit I will be sent to, so if y'all don't hear from me, it's because I'm still being moved around or something. But as soon as I'm settled, I will let you know what's up with me. And ever if I'm out of range, I will still write and send poetry in support of the best show and radio station on earth. Yay to KPFT. I love you guys, and as always, I come to end with much respect for every one of you at KPFT, especially after hours. Keep it gay. Peace. Your loyal fan and listener, Deep Cover. P.S. It's cool to give my info out to everyone who would wish to write and know more about me and want to kick the clock around a bit with me. Thanks.
Okay.
And does that mean I read that one over the air, too? Or
no.
I didn't think so.
No, not that one.
Note, since I'm in transit, I do not have all of my stuff. I've only sent you two pieces of my great-grandmother's poetry. I know you like her stuff, and I take her book of poems everywhere I'm going. And I can understand that. I take my book of poems everywhere I go, but they're all in my head, so it's not quite the same thing. As a matter of fact, I got chewed out by one poet because I refused to write anything down. I don't know, she's still mad at me over it, maybe. Shadows of desire. If I never had love, my heart would be as sullen as a bird on broken wing, and silent as an island lost at sea. Oh, I have loved, but I have felt the sting of autumn winds and sensed the shuddering of dying leaves at dusk, and with the dire deep need to linger for reckoning. My heart leaps with the shadows of desire.
Wow.
Yeah. His great-grandma did some pretty serious...
No kidding.
...stuff, you know?
No kidding.
And some of it's actually pretty
yeah. Deep.
I had to consider it a couple of times before I got most of the implications. I probably still haven't gotten them all. The next one's titled On Past the Thunder. Skyward, ever climbing, and higher, higher. Man has reached a pinnacle. Will he perish? With his question, turning the wheel of knowledge, spinning it faster, over moonbeams, over the stardust portals, forward, forward, eagerly chasing angels, past the rainbows, on past the thunder, man's ravishing glory.
Mm.
And ladies and gentlemen, that ends that segment.
Okay.
Of After Hours. And once again, if you wish to write to Deep Cover, you can send our Jorge or...
Fair.
Let's see.
No, Bull.
Bull. Or, I got one more. Bradley, which I read his complete information. Please contact us and tell us who you'd like to write to, and we will forward the letter for you. Or, you can contact us and ask for that information, and we will forward it on, and maybe they will send it to you directly. I don't know any other way we do it. I'm too new at this, so Chris will correct me.
Like I said, you can either contact us by email to get information or send us a letter that you wish to send forward on to one of the inmates at afterhours@kpft.org. Or you can do traditional snail mail at afterhours, care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard, at Lovett Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77006. And like I said, we will be glad to pass along those letters. You can put them in a double envelope setup, and we will forward that on to the appropriate MA if you want to keep your address out of the loop. We will be glad to do that for you. Once again, afterhours@kpft.org or afterhours care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77006. You got a piece of music for transition, or are we going?
Oh, let's. I thought we were just going to go straight into.
Well, no one's here. Just you and me.
Well, we're
I told him that we were just about
I know, I told him that too.
Okay.
We have a sheep story, people.
Oh, well, a sheep story?
Well, Doug's still here with us.
Let's do a sheep story. I came back. I was going for coffee, but I found out that it was around.
Well, we don't do the sheep till the end. We have to keep the listeners going.
Oh, well, then we have a sheep story at the end.
Yes, we always start.
Well, sheep always seem to come in the end. Unless you've got them against a cliff, then they push back.
Actually, the story, he didn't get the sheep to come in the end.
Oh, he didn't?
We'll start off.
That's why you need a cliff. I'm telling you, they got to push back when you come.
We'll start off with, ever since I decided to try and make this a segment, this is only the second time he's put it up here, from Joe My God. This week in Holy Crimes.
Oh, my God.
In the last 7 days... Israel, Rabbi Yitzhak Shapiro was arrested for incitement to kill non-Jews. In Arkansas, Pastor Joshua Wilson arrested in a prostitution swing. New York, convicted child molester Rabbi Baruch Leibovitz demands and gets special kosher meals in prison. New York, Father Thomas Kreiser resigns in embezzlement scandal. Virginia, Pastor James Bolton arrested for statutory rape. Ontario, Father Kenneth O'Keefe arrested for child molestation. British Columbia, Father Philip Jacobs arrested on numerous counts of child molestation. Ireland, Father Patrick McBee arrested on numerous counts of child molestation. McCabe was transferred to the U.S. 20 years ago when the accusations first began. Back to Ontario, Father William Marshall, charged with numerous counts of child molestation. He was a principal at a Catholic high school. It's a little old. Pennsylvania, the Diocese of Pittsburgh sued after molestation victim commits suicide. North Carolina, Father William Casey pleads guilty to child molestation. Illinois, Father Daniel McCormick sued by child molestation victim. Ohio, Pastor James Blaine pleads guilty to embezzling over $100,000 from his parishioners.
Well, at least he wasn't molesting anybody.
Congratulations. Right. Your sticky fingers were in the collection plate, not the altar boys.
All right.
Oh, my.
And now, this week's winner from Texas.
Oh, boy.
Pastor Randy Scott has been arrested for meeting young men online and forcing them into sex. Posing as a young man, Scott would exchange emails with his victims, then appear at their homes pretending to be the stepfather of the person they thought they had been corresponding with. Scott would then threaten to call the police unless the young man gave him oral sex. At least one of his victims was underage. Scott, who is married with children, has resigned from his church that he founded 20 years ago.
Wait a minute. What town is this from?
It doesn't say. Hold on.
Wait, there's more?
I got to click on the key. I believe it was Midland or Brian.
Ding, ding, ding.
Brian.
In Aggieland.
51-year-old Pastor Randy Scott has resigned from the Bethel Temple Assembly of God Church in Brian following his arrest Saturday of burglary of a habitation with intent to commit an assault.
I'm trying to figure out where I know that name from, and that's what's scary. It's not like I know a lot of these...
Holy roller types?
Preacher types. Yeah. Period. It doesn't matter what the denomination is. You know, I'm not exactly that kind of...
Yeah. Woo. Some of the stuff happened in Waco. What do you know?
Imagine that.
Why didn't I get these kind of hookups when I was in Waco? Then again, you know, the internet wasn't that big way back then.
Be careful.
I'm serious. I spent 2.5 years in Waco.
Hey, I remember when the internet was DARPA, baby.
Gay Games athletes are now free to drug themselves with abandon. Athletes competing in the Gay Games in Cologne were subject to competition-wide random drug testing, and that got the queers upset. So the Federation of Gay Games just voted 48-4-2, 48 in favor, 4 against, 2 abstaining, I guess, to do away with the practice in 2014.
What practice?
Of testing them for drugs. This returns to the 2006 rules that only made bodybuilding, powerlifting, and wrestling subject to peeing in a cup. Other sports can still drug test, but only if there's a compelling reason to do so. The main controversy, the World Anti-Doping Agency protocols, which they used in the 2010 games, are not sensitive to older recreational athletes or pause athletes, where steroids are prescribed for facial wasting. Two historically important groups of the Gay Games participants, according to a motion by the FGG, voted on, which also claimed money devoted to drug testing could be used towards sports scholarships.
I see the point, kind of, sort of, in a strange kind of way. But, you know, the thought that went through my mind when you said that is, who was really doing the most complaining about the drug testing? The guys that were taking steroids because their lifestyle, their life...
Needs it?
Or the guy that was taking the recreational drugs that got busted that didn't need to be taken?
Yeah, but, you know.
Six of one, half dozen the other there, I think.
Speaking of drug abusers and all that in sports, you know, a lot of talk lately here with Roger Clemens.
Oh, yes.
You know, getting busted for, you know, lying to Congress, which I think is only fair. You know, they lie to us. Someone lied to him there. But, you know, I've been waiting for this one joke to be said, and I've had to come up with it, so I'm going to have to say it on here. You know, with the chance of him going to prison, I'm waiting for the highlights, the headlines to read there of, you know, Roger Clemens having to change from being a pitcher to a catcher.
I don't know. He might be a pitcher. It depends on, yeah.
Well, let's see how well the rocket works.
It may be broken.
More kind of a police beat stuff here. Authorities are treating HIV as a deadly weapon in a Central Texas case involving a Grindr hookup. A 26-year-old Central Texas man is charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a first-degree felony, for having unprotected sex with a 16-year-old male without disclosing his HIV-positive status.
Wait a minute. 16's illegal in Texas anyway. Even if he'd have disclosed and the kid had consented, he still can't consent.
Well, the thing is this. They're not charging him with the sexual assault. They're charging him with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon.
Because that's positive.
He's not being charged with statutory rape or sexual assault.
That's all minor offenses compared to that.
Well, you know, I'm more inclined to believe that the 16-year-old probably already has a history. And under certain circumstances, if you can produce X number of partners before you.
Or the fact, I think the fact you're using, the fact that the 16-year-old was on Grindr, which is an app for your phone that requires you to be 18 and older, so this person did lie about his age.
Ah.
There's an app
to
for
get
that
on that.
And go to jail.
The suspect, Christopher Everett, met the alleged victim on Grindr, the popular gay hookup app. Now, this is from the Dallas Voice, and they're talking about News Channel 25, KXXV, out of Central Texas, which is Waco, Temple, Killeen. So I do that part because of the fact they're just taking a little pot shot at Channel 25, a gay popular hookup app whose name the TV station misspelled and put in quotes. The story doesn't say whether the victim contracted HIV from the encounter, which occurred back in October. The affidavit describes how 26-year-old Christopher Everett allegedly met the 16-year-old boy on an adult social networking site called Grindr. The two chatted via cell phone and decided they would get together on a Friday night in October. During an interview with police, the teenage victim explained how Everett invited him to his home in Copper's Cove. The victim told police how he snuck out of his parents' home and met Everett just before midnight. The two then rode together to Everett's home in Copper's Cove. The victim learned from another Grindr user that Everett is HIV positive. Everett is being held on a $50,000 bond.
Okay. The first thing that comes to my mind, excuse me, is that any man that does not assume that his trick is HIV positive and use protection accordingly is stupid. And I don't care if you're 16 or 66.
No.
Okay. The second thing is he was on a deal that you were supposed to be 18, so yeah, they couldn't get him for that. Can they get the kid for terminal stupidity?
Well, depending on how this date went down,
they could technically charge him with fraud for
Couldn't they, or?
I don't know. I mean, well, the thing I look at with the terminal stupidity is the fact that if he did contract HIV from this, you know.
I'm sorry for the kid contracting anything or even being afraid that he was going to contract anything. Don't get me wrong. As an HIV negative male who is not afraid to date an HIV positive male, I assume that every man I date in any way, shape, form, or fashion, until proven otherwise, is HIV positive. And I tell all of my dates, you are HIV negative, and you assume I am HIV positive until further notice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
Now, this guy knowingly had sex with his kid, you know, knowing that he had HIV but didn't disclose it. Is that right?
There's nothing saying that he...
You know, the test could have come back after he had sex with the kid.
It's possible, too.
And then that's how it got out on Grindr. Oh, my God, I just found out I'm HIV positive. Okay, if the guy didn't know he was HIV positive before he had sex with the kid, is it still assault with a deadly weapon?
Well, from what I am gathering here, this person probably knew they had HIV.
Yeah, I went to the KWXV website.
As far as I'm concerned, assumption is the mother of all.
Yes.
Yeah. The victim learned through another Grindr claimed to be positive. Police said Everett admitted that he was HIV positive during an interview with investigators. According to the affidavit, Everett did not inform his victim that he was HIV positive. So he did know ahead of time.
He did not disclose that to his partner, which is, that's an offense.
He's the offense of aggravated sexual assault with a deadly weapon is punishable by 5 to 99 years or possibly even life in prison.
99 years in prison might as well be life, though.
Well, yeah, that's what that...
I'm sorry. I still have this problem with the assumption is that the guy you're going to trick with is positive. Get over it.
Well, okay, the one thing you've got to look at is
the age of the kid.
Well,
in some ways, yeah, I agree to that, okay?
We're talking about a kid, you know, I'm not sure if he was in Waco or if he's in Copper's Cove, the way they've been talking about it, because you know the crime, they keep talking about Copper's Cove, but that's where the alleged crime occurred. But the fact is, you know, I lived in that area. I know how Bible beltish they are, and this kid, you know, probably didn't get the right kind of education in school to inform him of this stuff because they are so.
Backwards
on that. They're not going to give him a proper sex education class. But
okay,
the other side is, if you're smart enough to if you're smart enough to go online and figure out how to download the Grindr app and do all that other stuff, you're smart enough to go online and know what risks are involved.
Yep, that's right.
So I have to look at it from the fact of this kid either didn't care
or he's bulletproof.
Or he thinks he's bulletproof and it's not going to happen. Or, you know, they did something more that he wasn't expecting to happen in the beginning.
I think he probably got caught sneaking back in and the whole thing blew up after that.
Well, they don't say that. I mean, it says, you know, according to affidavit, Everett began kissing and touching him. The victim then told investigators that Everett had unprotected sex with him and drove him back home.
Okay, now I have a problem with that. If the guy knew he was HIV positive... and he deliberately had unprotected sex with somebody that was 18, anybody, period, then, okay, I'm all for let's prosecute.
Yeah.
Okay? If you're HIV positive or think you might be or don't know and you have unprotected sex with somebody that obviously doesn't have enough common sense to tell you to put a condom on it, then I think that's just as much your fault as it is anybody else's.
Well, you know, also, I had a roommate once who was staying with that was crashing with me who was positive, and we had talked about something like this, and he was of the philosophy of, you know, if you're not going to ask him to put on a condom, he's not going to put on a condom, and he's not going to tell you out front. You have to ask him because he figures you need to assume, and if you're not going to assume, then you deserve to get what you get, and that could be the case with this guy here, is that he was.
I'm sorry, I find a problem with that mindset that somebody deserves what they get.
Yeah, unfortunately, there is that concept out there. You know, there is, you know.
That's that mentality, unfortunately.
You know, that you can look at this person is, you know, pissed off at the world. I got this, and you know, why should you be safe? There's that kind of mentality. You know, I got a feeling a station out of, you know, Waco Temple Killeen is not going to go in depth on this. You know, it could come down to the fact that, you know, this guy considered himself a gift giver.
I'm sorry, that is not a gift.
In that segment of the community,
there's actually people, believe it or not, that are negative, that chase positive people just so they
can become bug chasers.
And then there's people that actively seek bug chasers that are positive that want to get with them. And
the terminology, the nomenclature, the title is gift giver.
Yeah.
It's the accepted term that's used in that community for... So, you know, we don't know what the whole story is on this.
Absolutely not. It's really bad that I made some of the comments that I probably made, but I still stick to my original deal, is if you're a human being, you tell another human being what they need to know.
Right.
You're supposed to make others capable of learning from your own mistakes.
Yeah. Yep.
And that is that I consider that a basic human concept, and I don't give a damn who doesn't like what
I
say.
Like the reason where this article was linked from is I believe it it's probably Toller Road that linked to the Dallas Voice website, and then the Dallas Voice links to the KXXV station. So and KXXV, it's a ABC affiliate in, like I said, Waco Temple Killeen. And so you're talking about a mentality that, you know, is not going to go in depth onto what this is and explain. Just, you know, basically, they look at it as a story of, well, here's a 26-year-old man, HIV positive, who, you know, attacked a sweet, innocent 16-year-old boy. There's culpability on all sides.
Yes, there is.
Very definitely. Yeah. And I currently, at this point in time, lean to the fact that, considering the area, that it's probably the official's fault that it's been blown completely out of proportion. Yeah. But
actually, this next article kind of leads into some of the topic we were discussing with in this case. Teenage boys in the U.S. engaging in high risk sexual activity, such as having sex with a prostitute or an HIV infected person, or having sex while high or drunk, aren't exactly informed of the consequences of inserting their penises in a random orifices. Just as 26% of them have said they've received HIV or STD counseling from a doctor in the previous year. According to researchers at Johns Hopkins Children's Center, who looked at studies in 1995 and 2002. Removing risk level factors, just 21% of all teen boys responded saying they received such counseling. So that means a teenage boy going to see their doctor, only one in four of them are going to be asked and talked about HIV and STDs or STIs.
I still think we have a problem with our educational system.
Well, and a lot of that goes back to the previous administration, you know, that we're only supposed to teach abstinence and nothing more. And there's nothing in there about protection. There's nothing in there about STDs or anything. It's about you don't do it until you're married, you know, and that kind of education
is called a death sentence.
It is.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, the religious right has taken upon them holier than thou selves to pronounce death sentence on most of the people that become infected from the ages of 14 on up.
You know, and the one thing is we say, you know, you said previous administration.
Religious right is neither, though.
That's the previous federal administration, and it was our previous gubernatorial administration.
Yep.
But Governor Goodhair has kept up that same policy.
Of course.
Of abstinence.
Of the ABCs. Abstain from sex, be faithful, condoms only when necessary.
Can we get anybody from his days in college to testify just exactly how well he abstained from sex during such? I would really like to know. Anybody that knew our beautiful governor in college and has intimate knowledge of what he did while he was in there?
However, when he went to college, there wasn't anything called AIDS.
No. I don't care. You know what? He still didn't abstain.
Yeah.
There's a big dividing line between prior to 1981 and after 1981.
Yeah, I mean, and with being, you know, in allegedly heterosexual, you know, Governor Goodhair, he, you know, worst case scenario was a bun in the oven or needing to take
gonorrhea,
a
syphilis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, taking a shot and being okay in a couple of days.
Exactly.
You know, that's the downside of where we are with the society is the fact that at that point in time.
Okay, so the diseases can get worse, but we can't change our mentality to fix it.
Got it. Sadly, no.
Well, prior to 1981, I don't think there was any sex education.
I'm sure there was. Here's a condom. Don't get her pregnant.
Well, it was mainly when you went into the Army, you know, the military service, and they showed you their, you know,
the short arm film.
Yeah, the VE film. And that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's the thing is, you know, it's back then was a simpler time that, you know.
Well, as a father and a grandfather, I am absolutely outraged at the inability of our entire governmental educational system to do anything other than plead ignorance.
Okay, and the other side of the argument is from the parents, most parents, who feel there should be no sex education in schools because that is the job of the parents. Unfortunately, they don't do it.
I did. You don't think my kids went forward without knowing the ABCs, do you?
Okay, you, but you're an exception.
Yeah, because there are a lot of parents.
You know, everybody keeps telling me I'm an exception. I want to meet the rule.
The rule is parents don't teach their children about sex.
It comes down to more than just not teaching them about sex. They don't teach them about anything hardly anymore.
Manners.
They don't teach them manners. They don't teach them how to respect others.
I can't tell you how many times I've been at work, and I have seen kids running down that aisle. You know, just running up and down the aisles, and there's nothing I can say or do.
Makes you want to push a cart down there.
Well, it makes me want to just stick my foot out, but I can't.
Jimmy, well, a thought.
I can.
A thought just occurred to me. When you and I were growing up and we were in school, how many times were we educated about
communists?
No. Well,
all the time.
Duck and cover.
Things like malaria and yellow fever and...
We got that.
And smallpox. And if it was a life-threatening disease...
We heard about it.
We heard about it. We got educated about it. Okay.
But mosquitoes bit everyone. AIDS is only for those fags who deserve it because they take it in the ass.
Honey, right now the largest population to catch HIV is the quote, straight, unquote, population.
I know. Yeah. I'm. That was the voice of the devil's advocate over here. There was a politician in Iowa, and some right winger. I saw the article. I didn't select it as one of our stories this week, but and some idiot who's on the radio up there who's saying once again AIDS is God's punishment for homosexuality.
Well, then why in the hell hasn't he contracted it then?
You know, like I explained to my father several times when he talks about something he hears on the radio, in some ways, it's easy for any idiot with a 2-cent idea to get on the radio.
Or the internet.
Yes. Well, I say the radio, and he looks at me like, "Are you saying?" I said, "I put myself in that same category."
I know.
I'm sitting here. I'm not going to argue.
We all know,
and when we get on the air, we all realize that what we say
matters.
What's heard of what we say, people take as the truth.
Yeah.
So we better be truthful about it.
Yep.
Now, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah,
as I know it.
And it's one of the things we try and do here. You know, I'm reading from news stories. I try and not paraphrase as much as I can. I try and give you as much of the story on that we're going on. And if I make a mistake and I make a mistake, I'm willing to correct it and say I made a mistake.
Mm-hmm. You know, I can tell you that when I was in junior high, and mind you, this is over 20 years ago now, they told us that we're going to show you this program, you know, in school next week, and we need you all to
get permission from your parents.
Mm-hmm. And if you choose not to participate, we'll put you over in this classroom,
you know, and...
And you can watch that old episodes of Leave It to Beaver where life
exactly.
is good.
And then, you know, if you're... You know, if your parents say it's all right, we'll take you over to this classroom and we'll give you, you know, the video, the talk.
Did you get to go to the...
I was actually...
He was in the Leave It to Beaver classroom.
No, I was not, actually. I was...
Ah, and what did they tell you about?
It was pretty much, you know, about STDs, about being safe. You know, and this, mind you, this is in a very conservative, lily white school district.
Okay.
Lily white?
Well...
And how'd you get in? You ain't very lily.
Or white.
Well, see, that's the thing is, there's lily white school board and predominantly minority student body, so...
Yeah.
Ooh,
that ain't right.
Now, mind you, by the time I got into high school, you know, about 75 to 80% of the girls were pregnant, you know, by their junior or senior year.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Duh.
So a lot of lot of good that education did.
Uh-huh.
But at least they did give you the information. As
right.
As to what you did with it.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark.
Turn it back to the bulletproof and can't be
heard.
How
about you get within 6 inches of that microphone, please?
Sorry.
Do you know how to find 6 inches?
Oh, he sure can.
Don't even talk about that, Chris. It's only this big. 6 inches, so get the microphone a lot closer, okay?
But it's just like, they were given the information, but as to what they did with it, that's their problem. I mean, if they did not take that information to heart and actually use it to prevent themselves from getting pregnant or knocked up or whatever you want to call it, let their parents try to kill them later, because their parents are sure as you
well,
know what.
Believe it or not, a lot of those girls used that information to get pregnant because they wanted to get married before they got out of high school.
Yeah.
Now, that was in my raising days. Now, I don't know what it's like today, but...
That's not the way it was when I'm growing up.
Hold on. I have to tie a couple of these stories together here. We're talking about idiots on the radio and knocked up and all that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, please, a moment of silence for Dr. Laura leaving the radio airwaves.
Oh, hallelujah!
Big Roy.
Praise God, she's gone.
I believe I heard Big Roy when I heard the announcement. I heard him go, yeah!
Yeah. he really hates her. Oh, he really
I can say
her.
This. Laura,
Dr. Laura was the little short ganinch that gave everybody sexual advice in an absolutely horrible way.
No,
that was Dr. Ruth.
Oh, Dr. Ruth. Which one's Dr. Laura?
Dr. Laura is the supposed blonde psychiatrist who... Who keeps telling people that homosexuality is wrong and
biological abnormal, right.
Biologically whatever.
Did she have padding on top of her boobs so she didn't get black eyes when she nodded her head?
No, but then the picture surfaced of her kind of spread eagle with a picture of when wearing
several,
with a smile.
Several pictures.
Yeah, they still show her picture on the Daily Rotten whenever they announce her birthday.
Good.
Next story. Let's go to.
Was she surrounded by black guys?
No, but they, they did make a comment a couple days after her Larry King appearance where she announced her retirement. She went to dinner with a couple of her friends, and one was black and one was gay. And one of them responded saying, you know what people would say if they saw this gathering right now? You know, the fact that she was actually out to dinner with a black guy and a gay man. Considering, you know, the
impossible dream.
Yeah. The fact that the reason she was leaving is because she dropped the N-word 11 times in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Hello.
Hey, speaking of topics like that, South Africa.
Oh. Well, nice segue.
Thank you. A photo of two men kissing on the front page of a student newspaper from South Africa's Stellenbosch University is creating controversy for the paper's editor.
Gee, I think.
The photo was taken during the annual Kiss in the Avenue, which involves students trying to set a record for the most couples kissing at a single event. Apparently, members of the university's gay and lesbian organization usually felt too intimidated to take part in the event, but this year decided to participate and managed to recruit friends from the University of Cape Town and University of the Western Cape to support them. Outgoing editor of De Mate Annelies Kloppers, Annelies Kloppers, said the reaction to the picture has been quite unexpected. Most interesting thing is to watch people's reaction when they picked up the paper. Some of them asked me, what were you thinking? Some of them tore the picture out of the paper and crossed it out with a marker.
Oh, brother.
She said she'd been inundated by calls either to congratulate or chastise her about using the picture. The biggest reaction I've had to any story ever. is also the best-selling edition of the paper in 4 years.
Go figure.
The photo has also apparently been helpful to the student group that organized the event. The Lesbian Gay Organization, which arranged to arranged transport for the event for the two men in the photo, says it's gained 60 members, according to the publicity.
Wow. Cool.
Hey, that's pretty good.
You know, the only comment I have to say is South Africa has got so many problems.
Mm-hmm.
Just from me being there for 7 days, has got so many problems, they shouldn't even be worried about thinking about this being an issue.
I know.
And it's really
because homosexuality was decriminalized.
Yeah. And it's two white guys.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean,
boy, imagine how much they would be pissed off if it was an interracial gay couple.
Oh,
oh Lord.
They have refugee camps literally where people are sleeping on the side of the road.
Oh, God.
They don't even have tents or housing or anything else. And I went through a couple of those, and I was absolutely amazed at their issues that they need to take care of long before they worry about us. We're a drop in a sea of problems they've got.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least it isn't like in Uganda where they're sending them to the death house for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a documentary coming up on that, I think, on Current Television on Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh.
There's a documentary coming up about it.
All right, a couple military stories.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
don't
boy.
Ask. And we won't, and we'll tell.
No.
Oh, do tell, please.
Well, we are. Marine investigated in alleged gay porn.
Ooh.
Oh, well, there's a surprise.
Did they give a website?
Oh. No.
Was he showing off his sidearm?
close there, because
no,
you know, one of these things, we always make the joke of sometimes it writes itself.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
This is my rifle. This is my gun. He was showing off his gun.
That's what it was.
Oh, no. A baritone horn player assigned to the Marine Barracks, Washington, is the subject of an Article 32 investigation in connection with online photos and videos that allegedly show him having sex with other men.
So he wasn't blowing his own horn then?
Nope. Sergeant Matthew W. Simmons, whose alleged screen name is Christian Jade, acknowledged in an email that he believed his case would be taken to court-martial. A statement from the Naval Criminal Investigative Service confirmed that Simmons' command requested an NCIS investigate whether Sergeant Matthew Simmons violated the Uniform Military
Uniform Code of Military Justice.
Yes.
Yeah. Articles concerning indecent acts and sodomy while involved in the production of adult pornography. The investigation remains open. The investigation was prompted in part by alleged evidence Simmons wore his Marine uniform in some of these productions.
Oops.
NCIS officials told the Marine Corps Times. So it sounds...
That's a big no-no.
It's still open. They just have to keep watching these videos over and over again.
Yeah.
So, I guess
that is one of the first things it says in the that you're done in the UCMJ when you're going through basic stuff. You don't do this in your uniform. You don't do that in your...
Yep.
If you do that, you should expect to get an article... Yeah. Whatever.
Even if he was having sex with a woman, it would be the same thing.
Yeah. You're not supposed to do anything in your uniform that does not reflect.
Because you are the property of the government.
U.S. government.
Well, in a situation like this, they would consider you an ambassador of the United States of America.
Yes.
Right.
And anything that you do in your uniform reflects badly upon the nation.
Okay, so he should be kicked out for that.
Okay, but you're all missing the point of apparently what he was doing, because he's also a baritone horn player. He was blowing somebody else's horn.
Oh, I see.
Well, it's like, oh, yeah.
You're so slow.
it's been a rough night.
I hope he didn't get any sort of little stain or whatever on his uniform.
Or at least
he's
got on his boots.
If he was blowing his own horn, that would have been impressive.
I haven't seen those on the videos. But.
Yeah, you know, I wonder how they would have to treatsy that if he was wearing his uniform but blowing his own horn.
No, still the same thing.
Nope.
It'd still be sodomy.
The uniform.
How is it sodomy if he's not...
Well,
if it ain't going where it's supposed to normally go, then it's
sodomy.
Because you're not having missionary sex if you're blowing yourself.
Next.
Navy ensign files harassment complaint over anti-gay call sign.
What?
In 2009, Steve Croston... an ensign on the in the U.S. Navy, filed a workplace sexual harassment case against his fellow officers after an episode where he was teased with several anti-gay slurs. The officer presented him with call sign options such as cowboy, gay boy, fagmeister, cowgirl, Romo's bitch, T.O., Terrell Owens, and Redskins. The squadron settled on Romo's bitch. According to the Navy Times, the Tony Romo fan was shocked. I was like, wait a minute, what the hell? Do you think I'm gay? Do you think I'm Jessica Simpson? What a way to tell me that.
Ooh.
Well, if the tiara
I added
fits,
the Jessica
Mary.
Simpson part just to explain to the gay people. The harassment complaint was dismissed in May, but Croson refuses to state on record if he's indeed gay. Fox News, of all news outlets, has an exclusive information regarding this case.
Oh, God.
Their investigation reveals that, according to Croson, the inspector general in charge of his complaint was biased, as she reportedly knew the officer accused of the harassment. She's currently under investigation. She's probably an Obama appointee. From the Fox News article, in the following months after the alleged call sign incident, Croson said the harassment only got worse. He said he was the subject of anti-gay slurs and continued harassment in person and over email from his commanding officers and from his squadron officers.
Oh, brother.
Croson said he was the target of what he believes to be numerous incidents of reprisal from his commanding officers. The same officers Croson named in his Navy complaint to the inspector general were charged with conducting his review. The worst review Croson received in 16 years in the Navy. Is it was entirely unfounded.
Wow.
Jeez. Sounds like somebody needs to either A, transfer him out of that unit, or B, go through and figure out exactly what the issue
There's
is.
There's
really.
No way he can win in that situation.
No, because
he really just needs to be yanked and put somewhere
what's
else.
What's bad is that review that he got goes into his permanent record.
Oh, yeah. Man.
And it's going to screw him when he goes up for lieutenant junior grade.
Yep.
Man.
All right, now let's get into the fun part of our
Oh, boy.
Here.
Do we have pillars tonight?
No, we have sheep.
Do. Yeah, it's one of our pillars.
Oh, that's bad.
A Japanese microscope has been made solely for viewing your own sperm.
What?
The person who's posted this saw this in a sex shop the other day, and he had to take a picture with his phone. Now I'm just realizing this is an old article, but... Basically, the plasma sperm is a microscope sold in Japan sex shops that are designed for purely for watching your sperm frolic and swim around. I can see some practical applications as getting your sperm count or even getting giving the tiny little guys names. Maybe even keep them like microscopic sea monkeys or something.
Oh, good Lord.
Well, they have Jimmy, a half-life.
Well, Jimmy, wouldn't we have to x-ray your stomach to get, like, the same effect?
Cute.
Somebody sent him out of that room.
Oh, no.
It really is.
He's on the tear tonight.
Jose, now, you're done. Get out.
There's a website called humansexmap.com.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And basically what this is a strange little island type map they've created here with different types of sexual acts.
Oh, here we go.
And you get to put...
All I want to know is where on the island are you?
Oh, there's lots of places. And it's got little push pins that you can put in for these different cities or regions of this island.
Mm-hmm.
Of either tried and I liked it, tried and I didn't like it, things I'd like to try, or strictly fantasy. Like I said, go to humansexmap.com.
And my God.
You know, at the very top part of here, they have one of our pillars. You know, there's the bestiality. Right. So you can click on either horses, goats, sheep, dogs, octopi or squid,
and
snakes.
Ouch.
Snakes?
Yeah. Snakes.
Well, eels weren't on there?
No.
Oh.
I'm surprised.
In the county of necrophilia, you have your choice between freshies and moldies.
Oh.
Way too much information.
Incest.
That's just cold.
Step family, aunts and uncles, kissing cousins, grandparents, father, daughter, mother, son, siblings.
Oh.
Keep it in the family?
Yeah. Over in the land of myth, there's... Snuff films, Donkey Punch, Dirty Sanchez,
oh.
Jelly Donut, Gerbling, and the Angry Dragon.
Well, the neat thing about gerbiling is if you strike a match, you get the gerbil back.
Wait a minute. Angry dragon.
I don't know.
I don't want to know. We'll discuss that later.
There are other little counties, I'm calling this, role enactment, penetration fetishes, body art fetish, body fluid fetish, dangerous games, sex games, sensory desperation, the land of dominant and submissive, automobile fetishes, body type fetishes.
So, watch automobile fetishes doesn't include auto fellatio?
No, automobile fetishes is either sex with an automobile or getting off on getting into crashes.
So, where do you put that? The exhaust pipe or the gas tank?
Yes.
Or the radiator.
There's the island of tentacle sex with aliens. There's the ghost sex island. There's slash fiction island where you can either be in the city of Harry Potterville or the township of Buffy.
No.
Vampire erotica. There's the angels and demons of sex with Jesus or land of the overfiend.
Vampires, love bites.
Island of uniform fetishes, group sex, role play, transvestism, planes of sexual positions, the vanilla sea, the island of non-consent.
Ooh.
The island of sexual phobia. The land of mundania.
The land of non-consent.
Mundania?
Yeah, missionary outpost, wall of religious shame, the citadel of chastity.
Dry humping.
I know some people Pearl who live village. On non-consent and...
Terra de
I kind of like the Sea of Vanilla. I'm just sitting here thinking about that.
Terra de Solo and Commerce Island. So you go out to humansexmap.com, fill out the map. You can save it, so I guess you can post it on your Facebook.
That's fabulous.
Jimmy's just, I see he wants to go and...
I'm in awe.
Jimmy's like, wow.
What, is all he going to go right. and fill it out or something?
Actually, awe is a little bit on the left side of the mountain down below the bottom.
All right, here is our final two stories, which you know you've got to love here. We're going to. Should we do the sheep absolutely last? Or
yes,
well,
please.
Whatever we got to do, we got to do it fast.
All right, let's
take a deep breath, Chris, and go.
We'll do the sheep last. From Washington State, a rented man allegedly found near a busy street naked and surrounded by sex toys and women's clothing has been charged with felony indecent exposure. A woman walking with her daughter on August 5th spotted what she believed to be a woman lying face down about 10 feet off the Southwest Sunset Boulevard. The person, later identified as David Alonzo Brown, appeared to be holding a green 12-inch long sex toy in one hand while his other was positioned under his body. Hearing the subject making what they described as, quote, girl noises, unquote, the witnesses contacted police. Arriving at the scene, Renton officers found Brown naked except for a woman's halter top and bright blue eyeshadow, according to the charge documents. Brown tried to flee but was taken into custody nearby carrying the sex toy and a pair of leopard print heels. On the ground near the subject was an open jar of what appeared to be petroleum jelly, and there were many used tissues scattered on the ground. The written officer told the court, hanging on a nearby tree, I saw what appeared to be a woman's black nightgown.
Sounds like something out of CSI. Mm.
A search revealed a second sex toy and small mirror. Writing the court, the officer said the woman and her 12-year-old daughter were distraught by the scene. The girl was crying and reluctant to discuss what she had seen. Asked by officers whether he placed himself near the road in order to have people see him, Brown allegedly admitted to doing so.
Oh, God.
Speaking with officers, Brown says he takes off his clothes when he smokes marijuana or takes other drugs.
I guess see a full moon on Sunset Boulevard.
No, actually, I see a case of where he's got more sticking in him than sticking out of him. He's an inverted porcupine.
Like an addiction, I need some help, Brown told the officers, according to the charging document. I'm mad at myself and I should not have done it. I'm 53 years old and I'm too old to be dealing with this. I have this condition. I need to get treatment. I never touch no kids or rape nobody.
Captain
I
Obvious.
Only do things to myself. I love people. A homeless man living in a tent 20 yards from the site of the incident, Brown has previously convictions of indecent exposure, asking that he be held on $100,000 bail. Senior Deputy Prosecutor Nerda Brown has some rather significant sexual deviancy issues that need to be dealt with.
Mm.
And the crowd went, duh.
Well, yeah, big duh.
I still think he's had more stuck in him than stuck in him.
All right, our final story as one of our pillars, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, boy.
Okay, this is where I give it up.
Once again, we go to New Zealand.
New Zealand. Oh.
It always happens there.
Well, that's because they got the most sheep of any place on the face of the planet.
A man is facing a criminal charge after he's caught allegedly trying to have sex with a sheep. The 34-year-old mid-Canterbury man appeared in Ashburton District Court on July 26th. He was remanded on bail on one count of attempting to commit an act of indecency with a sheep. A lawyer representing the man applied for a suppression order prohibiting the publication of his name, occupation, and address after the Herald on Sunday started making inquiries about the incident. It is understood a woman was a woman jogging saw the alleged incident on the outskirts of a small town about an hour away from Christchurch and reported it to police. Ashburton Sergeant Victoria Walker refused to comment on the case as it appears before the courts. The man has applied for legal aid. He's the second person to be charged with in relation to having sex with animals in Canterbury this year. In April, which I think we covered this story, a 16-year-old youth appeared in Christchurch District Court charged with bestiality, allegedly having sex with a 4-year-old donkey he had taken into the middle of a suburban reserve.
So, what's the matter? The girls aren't putting out in this town, or what?
Apparently. The youth has since admitted...
And they closed the public cruising area?
The youth has since admitted to that offense and has undergone court-ordered psychiatric evaluation. Mm. So, we have an update on the 16-year-old, and now we'll wait to hear back on the 34-year-old.
Okay.
Now, no pictures of the attacker in this, but they do have pictures of some really, really hot looking sheep.
I see.
This one's looking right at the camera, and he's got doomy eyes.
Oh my!
The sheep,
that's just raw.
The sheep was asking for it.
And remember, now to tie all of our stories together. Remember, boys and girls, if you're going to have sheep take two.
Quickly,
if you're going to have sex with a sheep, remember, wear a lambskin.
Yeah.
Oh!
You've been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude here on KPFT Houston. Coming up at the top of the hour is Zydeco Pasa Leg. All of that is the Red Eye Special. You can get us check us out on Facebook at After Hours. You can also contact us by email, afterhours@kpft.org. Sale mail is After Hours, care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard.
LOVETT. Love TT.
Houston, Texas, 77006.
Not just a zip code, but a life.
Love mail, hate mail, talk to the prisoners. Jimmy.
Dirty pictures.
This is KPFT Houston, your PSA, Zydeco Pasale.
Make your gift to KPFT go twice as far. Many employers sponsor corporate matching gift programs that will match any charitable contribution made by their employees. To increase the value of your gift, contact your human resources office to see if your company has a matching gift program and obtain the appropriate form. Follow the instructions on the form and mail it to KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77006. We'll verify your gift and notify your company. Your employer may also match your volunteer time. Ask your human resources office for eligibility requirements. Participating in your company's matching gift program is a simple yet powerful way to increase your support of KPFT without any additional cost to you. Don't delay. Get your company to match your gift to KPFT today. You are listening to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT, Houston.
And I want to be on the local station board of KPFT to contribute to the creativity and expansion of programming to attract a broader listening audience and increase the fundraising of KPFT. The local station board would work to give input and have ongoing dialogue with Pacifica and KPFT staff to broaden the concepts and stay current with state-of-the-art programming and technology. KPFT can better serve the community by conducting regular public sessions to get input and concerns of the general public. I seek your support, your vote on the ballot. Please vote Gladys House. Again, cast your vote for Gladys House. Thank you very much.
This candidate statement is property of the author only.